Blog Talk Radio.
Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Slow down on the biz and uplift the dialogue. Oh, yeah. Listen right along. This is straight off the press, the remix, fresh with no prior song. Surprise y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To get the piece of the piece, it's time to call blow. Yeah. The raspberry wind is frank and flavorful. Insatiable eardrums taste the radio. Here can't be beat, the flash you need. Better leave all your doors and all half the week.
What?
Positive and motivational track to see successful guests promote a self-mastery. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. Want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone to the forum tonight. It's so good to have you guys in the house. It is Sunday, December the 11th, 2011, and of course, you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. Want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to all of our guests who are joining us in the forum tonight. And if you are a guest and you are listening for the very first time, we want to definitely welcome you into the forum tonight and welcome you from all parts of the world as well, too. It's good to have you guys in the house. It's good to know that you're here and you're listening. Now, for those of you who didn't get an opportunity to listen to us on Friday night, Brother Panic was in the house. You definitely want to go back and you want to download that show as well, too. So you definitely want to download that show. And it's good, good to have you guys in the house. I see all of my international listeners are in the house tonight. So it's good for you guys being in the house as well, too. Yes, I know you guys hear that. This is just getting ready for the show tonight. As we get ready to get into the share, we'll be bringing on Dr. Ann Brown, and she's going to be speaking with us tonight about understanding the codes of darkness, melanin and the pineal. Just a few things that we'll be going over as well. So as I see you guys get yourself situated, I do want to tell you, if this is your first time and you're joining us live, again, we do welcome you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have you in the house. It takes just a few minutes for you to sign up, and you can do that. You can actually come on over and join us in the chat forum as well. And if you don't know how to get here, let me go ahead and give you some directions. www.blogtalkradio.com/The Remix. And the chat room is open, and The Remix family is in the house, and they are sure to make you feel welcome. So you can sign up right down at the bottom. It takes just a few moments to sign up and sign in, and you can participate with everything on the chat. You can also call in and listen via live as well, too. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. And also for my international guests, you can also Skype in as well. So want to give a shout out to all of the listeners in the UK. I know you guys are in the house. Japan is in the house tonight. Thailand is in the house. We also have Australia in the house tonight. So it is good to have you guys in the house as we get ready to get started. We have a lot of things that we're going to be covering tonight. A couple of things that I want to go over before we actually bring on our very special guest, Dr. Ann Brown. This is going to be her first time joining us in The Remix, so this is going to be really, really a great and awesome share. First, what I want to do before we actually get ready to move around, I know most of us have been doing our work, it's Sunday, so sometimes Sunday is kind of that like chill day that you want to sit back and kind of just relax. I know a lot of you have spent time on the computer, so we're definitely going to be able to get up. And we are going to get up and move ourselves around, we'll be doing that as well too. So we're going to listen to a little bit of music to really just kind of get us into that chair, raise the energy up just a little bit here as well as we get into the chair. So the first thing that I want you guys to do is to really just kind of get yourself into position so that you can dance. So wherever you are right now, what I want you to do is just stand up. Stand up where you are. Yeah, just stand up. There you go. So we're going to stand up and we're going to jam to this tune here and just allow it to take you where you've been. We're now in December the 11th. We have a few more days before we'll be moving into the university energy of coming into 2012. And so many opportunities, so many changes going on. This is a time of transition for so many people. We've gotten calls, me and Sister Munya, from brothers and sisters all over the world, making some amazing transitions, transformation is going on. So the energy is high right now, and it is so much to look forward to as change is coming upon us in so many different directions. So what we're going to do is kind of move that energy around. We're going to be talking about melanin tonight, one of my favorite subjects, and we definitely have the sister that's going to be coming on tonight, Dr. Ann Brown, to really share some amazing insight on this as well, on melanin and everything that it has to do with us. So we're going to listen to a little bit of Baby Blue, and then we're going to dance. I know you guys like to dance. Grab a partner and get ready to move a little bit, and then we're going to do this. We're going to do this. Let's see. Looking for Baby Blue here. Here she goes.
La, 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 the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
Okay. All right, you guys. Let's get ready to jam. I see the chat room filling up. Good to have you guys in the house. And here we go.
Thank you.
All right. That is The Emotions with The Best of My Love. And we're going to get ready to get into the share as we bring on Dr. Ann Brown. First, I want to let you guys know this show actually came about by Brother Shabazz. You guys know Brother Shabazz of Eye Opener Productions in New York. And actually, by the way, today is Brother Shabazz's born day. So definitely give him a big shout out. I know he's in New York right now doing his thing with a lecture this evening as well. But big shout outs and much love to Brother Shabazz. We're going to go on and bring on Dr. Ann Brown. Peace and greetings to you, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Greetings. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I am wonderful. It is an honor to have you to come on and share. As I was telling you when we had an opportunity to speak, I've actually kind of been searching for a contact for you for over 3 years, particularly when I started to get into my studies about melanin and those works. I'm not even really 100% sure how I came about your name. I know it was a slew of yourself and others, as well as Dr. Richard King and others that had done things with melanin, particularly at that. I know you are the contributing author of Why Darkness Matters, The Keys to Melanin in the Brain. That's one of the projects, as well as many others that you have worked on. So it's good to have you here in the house tonight. And I know this is your first time for being on The Remix. What I would love for you to do is just sort of kind of let everybody know who you are, a little bit about your background, and we can begin to start the share from there.
Okay. My name is Ann Brown. I'm a professor at a CUNY college called Medgar Evers, and I did my undergraduate, one of them was in microbiology at the University of New Hampshire, and then I did a microbiology, that's a master's in micro. Then I worked at Pfizer, and then I went to the Westchester Medical Center to the medical school there. And I did a master's in anatomy and then finally a PhD in medical anatomy. So I'm an anatomist.
Yes, anatomist. Love it. Yeah. Love it. Beautiful and powerful as well. I want to start out by talking because there's so much that we get when it comes to information. But I know yourself, this is a particular love for you when it comes to not only us as people, but really just understanding that anatomy and the effects of melanin. So can you let everybody know from your research what you know to be true, yourself, your studies, and all of your spiritual work? What is melanin?
Yes. There is some controversy as to what it really is, but from my work and knowledge and training, it is the black material that's located in the brain. If you read Frank Barr's medical hypothesis, there was a whole journal on melanin. He doesn't speak out. He writes, and he leaves it at that. But he said that melanin is an organizing molecule. That is, it is at the center of every function in the body. And I add to that by saying that it is a pigment located in the body, and it attracts a certain vibrational energy. And so it organizes every single function in the body. It is dependent on this black material that we call melanin.
That we actually call melanin.
Yes.
Now, when it comes to us understanding melanin, is there a difference between us of African descent and having melanin and others?
Well, you know, they break it down. The Academy of New York Academy of Sciences breaks it down into four classes. The one, when you see the term EU melanin, the EU prefix means good, well, efficient. That means that it is the black to brown material, amorphous, and is found in all throughout life, throughout the earth. And that means that it is a molecule that vibrates at a certain frequency and also vibrate that those things or that material around it. So this is like the good melanin, you know. It takes all the light rays in and it utilizes them, changes it into a consciousness level, and it makes the body work. That's the first type. So that's the brown to black, and that one is found in the eyes, the skin, in melanomas, in the hair, in feathers, and so on, and is derived biochemically from an amino acid called tyrosine. Right? Then there's a second type that we call pheomelanin, that means dusky, and that has proteins with sulfur, like such as dopamine or cis-dopa, and that's found in hair, fur, feathers, and it is a pheochrome or crystalline pheochrome. The Caucasians have that. The first type is in people of African origin or people with, that are heavily pigmented. In the second type, the pheomelanins, that's found in Caucasian, and that's a different chemistry than the eumelanin. The third type is called allomelanins, and that is brown to black, and it's nitrogen-free. It doesn't have any nitrogens in it, and it is found in the fungus of the soil and in dark soil. And the last one is the neuromelanin, and that's brain melanin. That's the one that I'm very highly interested in, and this is found all in the central nervous system of humans and vertebrates. And there are different substrates that it is associated with, such as the neurotransmitter called dopamine, and tyrosine, and epinephrine, norepinephrine, serotonin, and so forth. Does that answer it?
Yes, okay. Definitely did, okay. And really give a good understanding about understanding melanin. So I guess it's safe to say, Dr. Brown, that everyone has some form of melanin.
Yes, that's correct. And it depends on the chemistry that makes it different.
Ah, okay, and that's what makes the difference. Now, I noticed as you were describing melanin, and one of the things that I've seen as well, too, when we begin to look at nature and we begin to look at the plants and we begin to look at ourselves, melanin and the plant and the plants on the planet really have a lot of similarities. You want to talk about that?
Oh, sure. All the plants have some form of pigment. And some of them you can't tell until they have come to the end of their life. Most of them that we know about have chlorophyll in them. So melanin and chlorophyll are very, very much related. Chlorophyll has in its core of the molecule magnesium. If you compare that to hemoglobin has iron in its core molecule. And that if you take blood, for example, and put it on the desk and leave it, say, overnight, and it dries, it's going to turn black, which means that one form is red and another form it is black. So black material, which we call melanin, is really found in all the plants because most of them have green pigmentation. So maybe at one point we were green people, you know. I mean, it's kind of far-fetched, but the chemistry is very similar. And if you take bacteria, take fungus, if you the bread molds that you see when they ripe, the ripened bread mold is really black, has a black head with spores in it, and if you break that head open containing the spores and falls down on the bread, it produces more of its of the light kind. So it, pigment or black material is found in from the stratosphere to the hydrosphere to the ionosphere to the earth and the water in the sea, deep in the water, etc. So it's found everywhere in nature. There's pigment.
Yes, I can definitely see that. Even when we go back to study sort of our ancient ancestors in Kemet, often you would see the god Asaf depicted as green. really showing that reflection there as well. Now, the next question I want to ask you, because I know that melanin, and as it functions with that power and really just being active in the brain, when it comes to male and female, and we're talking about us as African, is there a difference in how melanin functions within our two physical bodies?
I don't think you can make that kind of difference. There are some other factors that make us male and female differences. Most of it is biological, and then the other we can't explain. It's endowed by the Creator.
Right.
But I can tell you that in every nerve in the body, and there are trillions of them, many of them in the brain, if you look in the brain, and we have cut the cadaver brain and sections or slices, and as we go deeper into the brain, we see more black material. That part of the brain that has the highest amount of black material is the midbrain, and we call that area substantia nigra, which means a substantial amount of black material is there. Now, people will argue that that black material in the dead precipitated as waste, and I cannot perceive of that, you know, because I know in the cell, in the cytoplasmic area of the nerve, of every nerve, there are some particles. Those particles contain a black pigment, and that they call them nissl substance. That, the way I explain it in my experience, is that the black material is there like little batteries, little crystalline batteries, so that when the impulse travels from one nerve to another nerve containing a cell body, which they all do, it's going to re-energize the impulse and send it on its way. That continuously flows back and forth throughout the brain where there are nerves, and I call that consciousness. Once that stops, then there's death.
Yes.
There's no consciousness.
And there's no consciousness. So when it comes to us as women and during the cycles, our menses, and because we have that blood flowing, how does that impact us as women with the blood flowing and melanin, since melanin does travel in every essence of our being?
Well, that has to do with the effect of nature on people in general, because I think all people have that same kind of experience. And it means then that that's a measure now of whether or not, you mentioned bleeding, whether or not we're pregnant or not. That's kind of an abnormal process, but it has become a normacy as a measure to determine whether you're pregnant or not. In my own feeling, I think it's sort of on an illogical side to go around bleeding. But as I said, the only way you can know, or one way you can know that you have begun to expect, that is, a new life, is by the stoppage of the blood flow. So as melanated people, there's no difference there between us and other people. But I can tell you there's an old copy, and I don't have it with me, published by the University of Chicago Press, that says that African peoples have thicker blood than other people, which means that the viscosity of the red blood cell flow, or that flow in the bloodstream, is more dense than some other people. Now, that needs to be really researched in modern times to see if that's, you know, if that's still true. So we as a people, as a melanated people, need to do things to continue to rebuild our melanin chemistry and to maintain it. You do it through eating raw foods. Foods have pigment.
Okay.
So you eat raw foods, then the body's cells and tissues and organs then have what it needs to create new melanin, because I think it's a turnover, a continuous kind of process. And I do know, and I've seen this when we open the brain and make the slices, that deep in the brain there are black centers. And some people have predicted that there are at least 12 centers in the brain that is black. Some are more than others. I mentioned in the midbrain, the substantia nigra is that area where it's more dense. And another part called the locus coeruleus also is a part where it's more dense. So if that melanin is destroyed, or if the neurons containing it are destroyed, and the dopamine that they, as a neurotransmitter that they release, If those are out of balance and reduced, then you don't have a system of maintaining skeletal muscle control, and you start to tremble, and we call that Parkinson's. So Parkinson's is either a reduction in the number of neurons in that black area, a reduction in the blackness that's there, and in the reduction of the dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter.
Right. So the goal really is to keep ourselves sort of in that place of optimum health, particularly us as highly melanated people, is to really begin to eat those foods, those raw foods, that will help to regenerate melanin, or is it in fact actually creating more melanin?
It's both. Creating more and regenerating, which is really the same thing. So if you have the pigments, and you supply the body with the pigments unheated, then the body can do what it has to do with them and maintain that homeostatic balance that nature put it within us.
Yes.
And we're people of the sun. We're the people of the sun. When you go out in the sun causes the melanin in the skin to reproduce itself more as a way of protection. And if you don't go in the sun, then it's a different story. But we have to stay in the sun because we are sun people.
Yes. Now, if we don't do these things, are we in fact killing our melanin? And is this the result of some of these diseases that we see manifesting for us as people?
I believe so. In other words, what I said earlier is that the body has a homeostatic requirement. If you don't give it the foods necessary to maintain that, then you can call it all other kinds of diseases. You see, the system has misled us in a lot of respects having to do with the melanin and have hidden information from us, and they know the truth, and they do this research all the time. There are a lot of different scientific organizations that study melanin because of melanomas, which is a cancer of the skin. And a lot of the information that they have gathered, the research they have done, they keep it quiet amongst themselves and build drugs or put it in eyeglasses or different ways or manner in which they handle that pigment because they know it's very, very, very important.
Right. Wow. Okay, some really, really great stuff. Let's continue on to talk about some of those foods. What are some of the foods that you would give as a recommendation that we could begin to eat to really help keep us in this state?
I think the number one on my list would be the green plants, such as spinach, such as celery, such as cucumber, such as parsley, and then green apples. If you put those together, like in those blenders, and a certain amount, whatever you like, and make a drink, a liquid out of it, and then you drink it, then that adds minerals and vitamins and other things untampered by heat to the body, and that's what the body is used to. Once you heat them, you change the orientation of the electrons around the nucleus of the atom that these things are made up of, and then it's going in the counterclockwise direction, which is now strange to the body, but the body will go ahead and use them. But, you know, in the long run, it's not good for the balance of the body. So that's why you need to eat them in the raw so that you eat the foods compatible with nature and compatible with the ionic mobility of those electrons around the nucleus of each atom that food is made up of.
Okay, good stuff. As we continue on, once I heard you talk about the pineal gland, and you stated that it was the only singular, I believe you said, gland in the body. You want to explain that a little bit more for us?
I'm not sure that I said it's the only singular gland in the body, only single gland in the body. It certainly is very important, although it produces a very small amount of its own hormone or neurotransmitter, and that is the melatonin and serotonin. See, the pineal gland, being where it's located in the human in higher forms, it goes down in between the two hemispheres. In creeping animals on the earth, like the snake and crawling ones, like the snake and creeping ones, like the frog, etc., that pineal gland is located just underneath the skin in between the two eyes. That's why we call it the third eye, but it's actually the first eye. And it's there to pick up the vibrational movement of that which is around that animal so that they can run away if they'd like to escape to for survival reasons. So the pineal gland is the gland of vibrational reception or receptivity, and also it is, in us, a gland of psychic ability. So it puts you in tune with what is or that which is. I call it the gland of spirituality.
So beautiful.
It goes down within us because we're upright creatures. We're more advanced in many ways than, say, the creeping animals. So it's useful to us because we have other ways in which we see things and feel things around us.
Right. And I know for me,
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, for me, understanding that, that was one of the things that was important, and particularly doing the readings and the work that I do and that heightened psychic ability, which I believe everyone has that ability to tap into that energy. I want to have you share a little bit about that we're calling the pineal, or about that area known as the black dot, and sort of your explanation of that as well.
The black dot doesn't necessarily refer to the pineal. The black dot has reference to melanin located in any part of the body. Because when I teach the sperm cell and the formation of the sperm cell, it's a process called spermatogenesis. A regular cell produces a particular vesicle inside of the cell in the cytoplasm near the nucleus, and it grows around the nucleus. That beginning of it we call the black dot because it is dark material. In the medical school where I went, the professor even said above the nucleus there is a black dot. It grows symmetrically around the nucleus to enclose it, continues on until now you have what we call a sperm head. And the sperm gets rid of some of its cytoplasm. The mitochondria relocate at the neck so it can use that to propel by for energy. And that black dot then becomes a part around the nucleus and the head of the sperm. The black dot is also present throughout other parts of the body as well. This thing is so enormous that I really should write a book on just the black dot.
Yes, you should.
Yeah, and you know where else it's located? In the early development of the sperm cell in the fetus, when the fetus, or just say the embryo, is developing, and then finally the fetus, we see primordial cells that move from some part of the body and position themselves right in the lower part of that fetus, meaning that's going to be the inferior end where the reproductive organs are going to be. And those primordial cells are melanin-containing cells. What they're going to do is populate the testicles of the male and the ovaries of the female, and that's going to become the new cells. So it's carrying the pigment called melanin. So Frank Barr mentions this in his articles, and so that's so important because it's going to be the organizing molecule for the entire ovarian tissue as well as the testicles to produce sperm cells eventually carrying also melanin. And I may say another thing, that in the African person or the dark-skinned person, the scrotum, which is a sac containing the testicles, is about the darkest part of the skin. Why is it dark there? Because there are a lot of melanocytes making melanin, and it's going to take in the vibrations from around. I know we wear clothes, but the vibrations from around change those vibrational energy into electrical energy, which helps to power the production of spermatogenesis to make sperm cells down the road. So you see how important it is? The ovary, the same thing. The same thing. Yeah. Primordial cells populate the ovaries, and they become egg cells eventually, or oocytes. So it carries that function that it's going to need to produce a new life.
Yes. Oh, wow. That is Wonderful, great stuff. Everyone is loving the share. We have Dr. Anne Brown. She's joining us here tonight in the forum and really just talking more about those things that we love to talk about, understanding the codes of darkness, melanin, and the pine needle as well, too. And I definitely think you should write that book. That would be excellent.
Yeah, I know. I have it in mind. And you know another place where melanin is present, and not necessarily black, I'm talking about the chemistry of it, is in the nasal cavity, in the nasal area, inside of the nasal opening or right in the wall of the nasal cavity. And those cells, I saw one paper when I was doing the book on these cells that line there, and he has evidence that there are black pigmented cells located in the sheet of cells, the epithelium, that lines the nasal cavity. Why is it important there? It's because the odor is a vibration. Those are particles. When it's taken in, that's a moist area in the nose. The pigment cells are there, so it's going to moisten whatever it comes to that area. It's going to be energized by the melanin pigments in the tissue cells lining the nasal cavity, and it's going to send that as an energy up to the olfactory nerve, which goes over to the brain, and now you smell. Mm-hmm. I was happy when I found that the cells of the nasal cavity contained the chemistry of melanin.
Yes.
And I did a study. Dr. Richard King is one of my mentors. I did a study and a presentation, because at his suggestion, of melanin in the inner ear. Mm-hmm. The inner ear is where the sense of hearing is perceived. In the wall of the inner ear, on either one, on both of them, there's a series of always heavy pigmented, but it's also very vascular, meaning blood vessels. And I found that has a high amount of melanin chemistry. The amount of melanin there equates that which is in the eye. The higher amount of melanin that you see in the inner ear as compared with that in the iris of the eye is comparable. When there's less in the iris of the eye, there's also less in the inner ear stria vascularis, we call it. So that melanated wall amount is less when in the ear as you compare it with the eye. Therefore, people with less melanin chemistry in the ear, or it's a reduction in it, will have a problem with the visual aspect of life. So those two equate. Now, I think Darwin's cat had blue eyes and white fur and was deaf.
Wow.
So they did studies on rats and other kinds of lab animals and on hearing deficit. And the less melanin they were able to locate in all of those cavities of the ear equated with the deafness that they eventually came to as they grew older.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to understanding this, if we have sort of a low count of the melanin that is produced in the ear, or that low count that is produced in the eye, is there any way to increase these? Has that been figured out?
Yeah, I hear you. I think that's more biological. It's not a count. It's the presence of.
Okay.
You cannot count melanin. It's a pigment. So the presence of the pigment of melanin in the inner ear and in the eye has to do with the chemistry and the inheritance, the biological relationship between, you know, that pigment and the person. So the less the intensity of the pigment, then the more the problems, as far as I can see, will occur, meaning blindness or deafness, which those research papers show.
Right, beautiful. And so now I want to talk about, this was some other things that you spoke about, and I just kind of wanted you to kind of give me some clarity here. When it comes to orifices, and I think I say it right, women, I know we have 12, men have 9. What is the significance?
Oh, you talked about the orifices. Okay, I got it. Okay. All right. What we're saying then, that there are areas exposed to the outside, whether they're functional or not, 9 mm-hmm. in the male and 12 in the female. The 9 in the male are 3 in the lower part where the two in the lower part where the reproduction area is, and then the nasal area, the ears, the mouth, and so when you add all those openings up, it's 9 in the male, and it's 12 in the female, in that we have 3 in the lower area, and the rest are the same, similar to that of the male.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I hope I added it up right, but I know it's 9 and 12.
9 and 12, yes. And so these 12, is there any other significance other than the women having 12 and men having 9? Is there anything?
No, I think that's just the biological differences. I don't see any relationship between that and that makes us any different than the males, except the presence of those, because we give birth.
Yes.
So we have a separate orifice for entry or to produce the young. And then we have a separate orifice for urine excretion.
Yes.
And then
yes.
we have a separate one for the vaginal area, for the anal area. And by the way, all of those orifices have cells that have pigment in them.
Mm.
Pigmented area. I know they turn pink. That's because of the blood vessels and so forth. But there is in the tissue a pigment chemistry. And let me tell you about the one thing I left out about the ear. Now, I know the cell phone industry is quite big, and we need it. We need the cell phones. We need all the phones. But I tell you, in the inner ear, there are crystals called calcium carbonate crystals. Collectively, we call them otolith crystals. And they are located on those areas where there are hair cells. And then when you hold your head down, for example, it titillates the upper surface of the hair cells, setting up electrical current we call action potential, which sends the impulse from the cell through to the nerve and to the brain, and you know where you are in point in time. That means you're holding your head down towards gravity or holding it upright. So when people use the cell phone, that low frequency radiation from the cell phone, if you speak on it too long, that low radiation from non-ionizing radiation goes into those crystals in the ear and perhaps through from the crystals into the brain tissue and create what we call tumors of the brain. There is a very important book you can read about that by Dr. Keith L. Black. He's a brain surgeon, African-American brain surgeon, and that book is a wonderful book. I require my students to read this in my anatomy class so that they can get in touch with some things he's saying. It's easy to read, and it's been out for just a little while, but it is very good and good to understand. So that one I would suggest everybody read.
Okay, beautiful. You guys heard that from Dr. Ann Brown. I'm sure we'll be getting that. Actually, Dr. Keith Brown is also on my list as well, too.
Keith,
we spoke about that.
Keith Black is his
Keith
name.
Keith Black. I meant Black. Yes, I said Black.
Mm-hmm.
Black to Brown, but Black, yes.
Let me just
so
read something. Let me read something I found in the New York Times, New York Academy of Science, that is, about melanin. And here's the quote. No melanin, whether of natural occurrence or formed in vitro, that means in the lab, has yet been isolated as a single chemical compound or definite composition. What this is saying is that they do not know the true structure of melanin.
Mm.
And when we have a complex molecule that we put up for people, and it's a lot of ring structures biochemically, side groups, etc., and that people put up as melanin, but they do recognize the fact that that's not the true structure of complexity of melanin. I have another person who's a research friend of mine, and he's saying that the true melanin is really the protons from the sun that they beam down on us in the rays, and the sulfur in the system making hydrogen sulfide, not the kind you smell like a rotten egg, but it takes those protons and those sulfurs that's going to give you black. And the reason why he's saying that is that he gives the example that if you look at the tire on a car, it's black. The tire on the car is black because there's a lot of sulfur there. Now, we know in biochemistry or in inorganic chemistry that sulfur is what we call amphoteric. Sulfur has the ability to be yellow under one condition and black under another one. And you look at the yolk of the egg, it has lots of sulfur, it's yellow. And when I do a course in embryology, we have slides, and we look at that. One of those slides is that of egg yolk. Mm-hmm. If you look at the egg yolk under a good microscope, you'll see melanocytes in the yolk. Mm-hmm. And this is a fixed slide. And I was very happy to see that because it lets me know that Frank Barr is correct when he says that melanin is the organizing molecule, because the new chick starts its development on the yolk. That means that the melanocytes play a major role in the production of the young. Just like I told you, the primordial cells are in the human, male and female, in the ovaries and the testicles, and that's going to help to organize that process of developmental in that developmental stage of the earliest life in the person or the animal.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. As we continue here, the other thing I want to talk about is the connection between the heart and the pineal gland.
Let me see if I know a connection between the heart and the pineal gland. I mean, I can tell you the connection between the brain and the liver, but the heart and the pineal gland.
Maybe I didn't word it right. Let me talk about it maybe this way. When you began to talk about, and I've heard this, so I don't want to quote you because it may not be right, but you talked about the four chambers within the heart.
Right.
And that connection of how it reacts towards connecting us with our soul. And and sort of that explanation that you gave, that's what I'm going for when I say the heart and the pineal.
Yeah, I get you. I'm just going to equate that to what we teach and make a connection. In the right chamber, upper right chamber, called the right atrium, are located some cells that are going to set the pace for the heart to beat 72 beats per minute for life, except unless something happens to speed it up. That specialized area is called the sinoatrial node. Those are specialized cells that are going to set the pace for your heart to beat forever. The Creator created us this way. That, I think that is the seat of the soul.
Right.
I believe so. Now, we cannot say spirit, because spirit, I have a different definition for that. But I think that's the seat of the soul. And when that goes dim or can't function anymore, the heart doesn't beat properly, and there could bring about a lot of arrhythmias. So, and to correct that, they put an artificial battery-driven little mechanics on the heart, right where the SA node, we call it, is located to help power it so you can give the heart some more life. So that's why I'm saying that that is the seat of the soul, because that gives us the deeper function of us an advantage for a function. Functional advantage is perceived right there. The other chambers are participating because the blood has to go through and to the lungs and then back from the lungs to all parts of the body. So that powers it. Now, if you cut the heart out, as Dr. Correll did at Rockefeller, cut the heart out and put it in a petri dish with right nutrients there, the heart can be independent of any outside nerve activity. While it's in your body, there is an outside connection between the vagus nerve coming off the brain right to that heart, giving branches there to power it so that you can survive when there's some adverse things happening to you where you need more energy. So, but if you dissociate or sever it from the vagus nerve, put the heart in a medium containing the right nutrients, the heart can beat independent of the nerve from the outside, meaning the vagus. That means
right.
that the heart has its own autorhythmicity, and that autorhythmicity
mm-hmm.
is connected to that sinoatrial node that I just mentioned.
Yes.
And then the second part of that is that if you tease the cells out, and I have done that, and look at the cells under the microscope, those myocardiocytes have, they sort of group themselves together like little tiny matches, and then they start
mm-hmm.
to contract and relax, and this they're beautiful to watch. And
wow.
so when Dr. Corral's technician was supposed to maintain the cells in culture, that's an artificial environment in the lab, and one day after 29 years, she forgot, or the technician at that time forgot to change the media. And then cells died. So what does that say? That says that as long as you give the body the right kind of nourishments to maintain itself in its natural biological state, that biochemical state, the cells can survive. They can survive as long as that's available. If you don't change the media and you get an accumulation of toxic metabolites, then the cells will die. So we die because the body has sort of been depleted of its natural elements and minerals and so on, and the cells can't survive anymore. And
right.
that brings on death. Another sense of death is giving up, but you give up because you're tired.
Yes.
Why are you tired?
Yes.
Because your body is overwhelmed with so much toxic chemistry that it can't maintain
right.
itself. And so yes. that's one way I believe that death can come upon us. But you see the importance of giving the body what it needs to
yes.
replenish that which it needs to function on a normal basis. And that
is yes.
the right kind of nourishments, the right kind of nutrients. Where do you get them from? Get them from those things of nature. And I know they
nature.
Have been genetically modified, but we have to do the best we can under the circumstances.
Oh, yeah, so true. Wow, very powerful information, especially hearing that the heart can operate independent. I know one time I was doing some research, and there were studies that they had done where they had sort of taking sort of a sonogram, I believe it was, of the different organs within the body.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they actually injected, and these were some monks that they did this sort of case study on, but they didn't inject any of this light fluid so that they could be able to see the organs in the heart. They isolated it and didn't send it to the heart. But what they found out is once they had the monks go into meditation, the organ that had the brightest light and that did not have any kind of enhancements was the heart. They could see that. So I want to talk about the connection between meditation or, you know, these things of spiritual practice, whether it be, we call it praying, meditating, or really just connecting that energy. Did you find any significance of that of our faith? Because I'll call it that, faith of what we believe in, that faith that we have and the functioning of our bodies and the melanin within us.
Well, you can go back to the pineal gland. The pineal gland puts you in touch with your highest energy. And I've gone to these churches. A friend of mine invited me to come to the church that where they speak in tongues. And and some churches with the drumming and all. And what that does is it stimulates especially the pineal gland, and it vibrates at a particular frequency. And when it vibrates at a particular frequency, it gives off its own secretion more at this time. And then that stimulates more nerves around it, send them to higher centers, that is the cerebrum, especially the frontal lobe, and all of the lobes, but especially the frontal lobe. And it puts you in touch with we call them cosmic energy, vibrates at a faster frequency. And your perception is sharper. When I spoke in tongues, my tongue went very fast. It was sore for a week, but I was put into a higher state of consciousness that unlike that which I have all the time. Another thing connected to that is that through the pineal gland and the cleansing of all of your glands in the body through fasting and meditation, especially fasting. If you fast, say, 21 days is deep fasting. You're much more cleansed in 21 days than you are if you do a 7-day and so on. So when I went through the 21-day fasting a few times throughout my life, and had only in many cases just the juices of the vegetables and sometimes just plain water, but the juices especially because it's giving me nourishment and pigment and all like that. And my body is cleansing itself of all of that retention of toxic metabolites. All of the organs now are able to now take a vacation, and they are cleansed, and it goes out in the fecal and goes out in the urine. And do you know, on that 21st or 22nd day, my entire body starts to vibrate at a frequency as if I'm having, you know, the sex part. I mean, now the organs are doing much a more efficient job. I mean, I got scared of my own self. I said, what am I feeling here? And so when you allow the body to cleanse itself out, rid itself of those withheld toxins, be it solid waste or liquid waste, now the body can work much more efficiently. And guess what else? My skin started to feel softer. I started to have a much more light feeling, and my perceptivity increased. Everything increased, you know. Everything increased.
Yes.
So
yes.
That shows that if we retain fecal matter in the body, it damages everything, all those organs, those endocrine organs, as well as your other hard, solid organs. And that's why fasting is so important. Meditation just calms you down, puts you in touch with your inner self. And then I always tell people that you have what they call spiritual rooted diseases. Spiritual just means energy. It doesn't mean a church. Mm-hmm. It's spiritual means a vibration, because fear is a spirit. You think of something, you fear that goes throughout your entire body. You can inherit fear through the mother's womb into the developing fetus. So spiritually rooted diseases are diseases that are caused by our thoughts, meaning fear, anxiety, resentment, so on. That comes first. You continue to think that way, and then your organs become diseased. So I put mental and emotional first, meaning the thought and all of that, and then I put physical as a result of the thoughts. So you cannot have, say, cancer, for example, without a certain kind of thinking process that you develop as you live and go through life. And bad thoughts give bad tissues and cells. So if you cleanse the body of this kind of thinking and don't hold in certain experiences that are negative, then diseases such as cancer and some of the others don't necessarily have to happen. Now, I know some chemicals, you work in a factory, et cetera, you can get problems from that. But I'm talking about in your regular life as you move around and, you know, you reduce that. So spiritually rooted diseases are not diseases, is not something you can cut out and show somebody in the lab. It's a thinking.
It's a thinking, yes.
Right.
Where thought goes, energy flows.
That's right. It's true.
Yes. Now, you mentioned Dr. Ann Brown, and we're going to take a short break here for a minute because we've gotten so much information, and everyone in the chat room is just really loving the forum and loving having your energy here, sharing your knowledge with us here this evening.
Thank you.
They're throwing up hearts for you.
Oh, okay, good.
They're throwing up love for you. Beautiful.
I feel it. Okay.
Beautiful. So I want to talk about, what is spirit? I know you said you have a different definition as to what is sort of the seat of the soul and what spirit is. What is spirit?
Well, the soul is what I mentioned, where the specialized cells called SA nodes in the right atrium of the heart, that upper chamber. But I call spirit an energy, an energy. For example, you have had, say, a bad experience, for example, and you hold on to that bad experience, which is a thought, somebody did you wrong, and you can't let go. That, to me, that is an energy. That's and how it starts has to do with the experience, and that will radiate through the body. And if you are a certain, it's a certain kind of problem that you are encountering, will determine where that spirit will concentrate, and a disease will follow. For example, if you have been wrong, say, by, we have male and female relationships, if you have been wrong by a male, for example, and it damaged your ego and your ability to produce a child if you like, and he verbalized you, or physically or mentally, then you hold on to that thought. It hurts you, and it doesn't want to leave you. And you're on the phone. You talk 20 years about that same experience. That's what I call a spiritual rooted disease.
Yeah.
It will affect that part of you where you produce a child, which will be the uterus or the cervix, or the reproductive parts, because that experience had to do with the maleness that. Damaged you. I mean, the masculine damage to you. So it would be the uterus in that case, and we'll have fibroids growing on the inner lining of the uterus.
Yes.
If you let go of that, remember when tumors form, a capsule always forms around it. The body does that. And that in that tumor, which are lots of cells through mitosis, and within that mass of that solid tumor, you may find some kind of liquid or an energy. And if you cut that open, you take that and you put it in a petri dish with cells there, it will kill the cells. So the body tries to wall off the energy as well as the physical toxic retention so that the rest of the body won't get damaged similar to that area. So I call spirit an energy. And it has to do with what it is that energy is going to affect. I know people have told me that the husband is very mean to them, and he does this to them, this to them, this to them. And later on, that person has a problem with the kidney because fear is perceived in the kidney. And then, and then they start to drip, and they have to wear a diaper and so on as an adult.
Right.
If there's some other stuff that's more dense in the life, then it would be hemorrhoids in the back, and they can't let go, so they get constipated, force the fecal matter through the anal area, and then it pushes out the tissue, break the blood vessels, capillaries that are there, and so now it becomes a sore. So that has to do with constipation and the dense problems that you withhold in your life. So every part of the body is related to some kind of energy having to do with that particular person's experience. So it's not across the board for everybody. It depends on the situation and how the perceptivity of that particular incident to that person.
Right.
And then you can have disease itself. So I'm saying that diseases are first mental and emotional and then physical.
Yeah. Yes, and so true. I see that. I also do holistic readings, and that's one of the calls that I think, and particularly for people, it has to be a holistic approach, treating sort of the mind, the body, and like you said, the spirit, because this is where the sort of the breeding ground goes for all of these different diseases that begin to manifest themselves within our body. So.
If you treat the spiritual in your way of looking at it, if you treat the spirit, then what is the approach to that?
Well, the approach can be many different ways. Let's say, for instance, particularly you talked about fibroids, which is one of the main things. Particularly in the consultation, first we start to get into the mindset of understanding, being able to get the understanding of what's going on with the person in their life, seeing that these are some things that we can change, like you talked about. Our bodies are constantly evolving. So first recognizing what it is, where is the emotional attachment, where do we have the spirit, where do we have, I believe that where thought goes, energy flows. And so our bodies.
That's very similar to what I'm saying. You put well. That's well put.
Thank you.
That's very well put.
Oh, beautiful. That is beautiful. We are loving this. Everyone has so many questions. They're PMing me. My box is full over here. Hold on, you guys. Hold on.
just for the people who, there are people when they get a certain age that start to have problems with the knees.
Yeah.
And I've noticed in my own self, whenever I have that slight problem with stiffness in the knees, if I go back to the colon, have remove the colon, I say keep the colon clean, remove the, not the colon, but remove the fecal material within the colon, then the stiffness in the knees are related to that. My sense and my observation says that the retained fecal matter in the colon is directly related to the tension and the stiffness that develops in the knee. So if fecal retention in the colon means that the capillaries in the wall of the colon are taking out of the feces because it's lingering there too long, metabolic waste and toxins, which get into the bloodstream and in the lymphatic system, and it travels to a joint being the knees, and then you start to have problems. If you remove and keep the colon clean, remove that, the knee stiffness will go away.
Right, beautiful.
Or be reduced.
I love it. Or be reduced, because the knees really have a lot to do with the mobility. I sort of kind of call that connected to earth energy, and that's how we stay grounded. That's where your colon is, your skeletal system. Oh, I love it. You've got to come back, Dr. Brown. I know you don't have a lot of time, but maybe in the future we can have you come back on. You're so amazing. We're going to take a short break, and We're going to come right back, so don't nobody go here. And then, Dr. Brown, if it's okay for you, we can open it up for questions
sure.
from everybody.
Sure.
Okay.
How much time do we have left to go?
We have approximately an hour and 50 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So I can take a break as well?
Yes, ma'am, you sure can.
Okay.
You sure can. All right, you guys. So get your questions ready. We're going to take a short break. We're going to listen to a little bit of music. I know you guys have so many questions for Dr. Ann Brown. She's an amazing sister, as you guys can see. Now you know why 3 years. See, don't say Miss Blue don't have patience. I do, because I knew this day was going to come, and it is here now, and not a minute too soon. So we're going to listen to some music, and we'll be right back with Dr. Ann Brown.
Okay, so keep the phone open, right?
Yes, ma'am. You can keep it open. We're going to listen to a little bit of music just so everybody can get into that energy. We're actually going to listen to War, the group War. We're going to listen to Darkness.
Oh, wow.
Slipping into Darkness.
Okay.
Well.
Wow.
I got a wife and a baby. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, 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 oh.
Now my love has gained its fame. Yeah.
Slipping into darkness.
Right, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the remix. It is so good to have you guys joining us here live here this Sunday night, December the 11th, 2011. And we're joined tonight by our very, very honorable and very special guest, the Dr. Ann Brown. She is the author to the book, Why Darkness Matters, The Power of Melanin in the Brain. So we've been talking about all of those things, of understanding sort of those codes of darkness, what we need to do to really keep that energy activated within ourselves as well, when it relates to us and our melanin, and also those things for us as the pineal gland. As we continue our discussion here, live in the forum with Dr. Ann Brown. In just a few moments, we're actually going to be taking some calls. So for those of you out there joining, you can give us a call at 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you're on the phone lines to let us know you have a question. For all of our international listeners who are out there listening all over the world, you can actually Skype in as well. So that's two ways that you can actually get in as we continue our discussion. So greetings, Dr. Ann Brown. You back with us?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay. Well, beautiful. As we continue, there is a question I wanted to ask you before we actually start taking some calls that I want to talk about a little bit more, and that is the pineal gland. And really, there's a lot of talk that's out there, a lot of information as well, about the pineal gland being calcified. Can you explain that to us?
Oh, okay. We didn't cover that before, so it's a good question.
Yes.
There was a study done, and I have access to those papers, I think in the late 80s or early 90s, They took samples of people of Caucasian origin, people of Asian origin, and people of African origin, mainly in Africa and in this country. And when they looked at the pineal gland, that is the structure and whether it's soft or hard or whatever, they found that in over 60% of the Caucasians, the pineal gland was what they call calcified but not inactive. But the reduction in the activity was related to the calcification. And they looked at the Asians, about 20% of theirs were calcified, and the African-Americans, less than 10%. Of those they studied, now we cannot use that as a universal fact, but of those they studied, the highest amount of calcification was in the Caucasian group, and the next to that was the Asian group that had 20%, and a few of them were less, and the African group was less than 10%. So that means then if the pineal gland, being your gland of spirituality and your awareness, that if it's calcified, then it is not functioning at its highest peak. So you cannot perceive in the depths of a situation. In other words, just above the surface or at the surface. And if it's working and working the way it should, then perception is stronger, which means then if it's the gland of spirituality, if it's calcified, then you will focus more on materialism rather than spirituality. Yep. And so that's where they left the study. So when you look at people in general, we all have those issues of, we buy stuff and we're very materialistic in some cases.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm talking about the innateness of the person, if we can call it that. Those that have a more functioning pineal gland, the deeper their spirituality is and their ability to perceive below the surface. You know how we put the hand on the hip and say, oh, he ain't do that, honey.
Yes.
Similar to that. We can see things. And, you know, we cannot explain that. We just can see things in a different way than some other people.
Yes, beautiful. So also, I guess this brings to the next question. Is there a way to decalcify your pineal if it has been?
I don't think you would know that it's calcified except by those examples I gave. And therefore, you don't know what it takes to decalcify it, whether, it, in fact, that's possible or not. See, you don't know. We don't know the long run of the pineal gland physically. We just know that if it's from those studies, they happen to find that they were calcified. But you cannot have a symptom that shows that it's calcified, except people gravitate to materialism, and I guess everybody does that. You know, I mean, they have things put in place in a society where they woo you into buying a new car every 2 years or a couch every year or whatever.
Yeah.
So we become materialistic by habit, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's probably a very debatable issue. So we just go by the study that we have access to.
Yes, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I'm sure we can get into all the woo-woo about it.
Yeah.
But we won't.
Right, exactly.
Yes, beautiful. Well, we're going to take some questions now, if that's okay, or if there's something else you want to share with that. Yes.
Well,
okay.
You know, well, one of my mentors is Phil Valentine, in addition to Dr. Richard King. And Phil he's a really very good source for metaphysical connection between melanin. He calls it the light code. And I think he's saying what I'm saying, that when the brain has the right amount of minerals and other nutrients to keep it healthy, there is a movement of electrons from one neuron to the other through the melanin centers and actually in the cell body of the nerve itself. So this impulse continues, just flows back and forth. Well, when it flows, it gives off an energy, and that's light energy. And so you have light in the brain. It's a particulate matter. It's not a particle. Well, in some sense, it is a particle, but then it's a wavelength too. So it's under certain circumstances, there are particles moving about from one neuron to the other. And then when that happens, it gives off light. Just like the sperm cells, if you take sperm cells, a volume of sperm cells in the dark, you'll see a light glow from them. Why? Because there are electrical charges there, and that gives light. Not light like your kitchen light. It's just it gives an energy that lightens up, you know, an area that was once dark. So Phil Valentine is into that quite deeply.
And he's
knowledge.
He's been a guest here.
Yes, he has.
He's been a guest on here, as well as his wife, his lovely wife, Leilani, as well, too.
Yes.
They both have been here. So, yes, we are very familiar with that. And so that's why it does our heart so well to have you come on and really share a lot of the science part of it to begin to keep bringing these pieces together, as so many have spoke about, you know, as well, too. Mm-hmm. So beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a lot of research I would like to do on melanin, but right now I'm not set up for that. And you can't get funded from the big sources when you're dealing with this. I mean, some people may, but, you know, some of us can't get the funds we need to try to put more light onto this. And as I said before, it's the subject that people don't want to deal with because, you know, there are people without it in the skin. They don't have the same melanin. They say they have the same amount, but I don't really think that's true. I think it's a different chemistry. Our melanin is EU melanin, which means brown to black, and there's a pheomelanin, which means dusky, which means pigment is different. The chemistry is different. So the perception of energy coming to the skin is going to be different.
Different.
They have neurological diseases very early on, you know, in their life. When they get in their 70s and so on, there's a lot of, and I've worked around them and have seen this, there's a lot of problems with the nervous system. Mm-hmm. That's where the melanin is functioning, and also the brain. So this is a serious question and a serious subject that needs to be brought out more.
Yes, I believe so. Yes, I do. I do. It is that reflection of as above, so below. When I think about melanin and just how you described it, it really just reminds me of the Milky Way and how it just sort of moves through our body, the energy. Yes. Yeah. Powerful. Powerful. All right, you guys, I see you on the phone lines. We're going to get to you. We're going to get to you guys. They are so waiting for questions. So we are going to go to the phone lines. And calling in and from area code, it looks like 215. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are.
That's Pennsylvania.
Yeah, how are you doing today? This is Mo. I'm calling from Philly. How are you doing?
We're doing okay. Your phone's kind of breaking up a little bit. Yes, you had a question for Dr. Ann Brown.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. My question is about melatonin and 5-HTP. What effects do they have on the pineal? Are they healthy to take? And something else you mentioned earlier about eyeglasses. I wear eyeglasses. Is it coatings that they put on eyeglasses that can affect the pineal and melanin?
I know in the sunglasses they have a shaded type you can purchase that's melanin. Carol Bonds mentions that. The 5-HT is 5-hydroxytryptamine, which is a form of serotonin. And all of these things are laboratory extracts, so you don't know the truth about them. That's all I can say there. I wouldn't put too much confidence in anything that's chemically and processed out of anything.
Yes. Beautiful. I think it's call kind of got there, but I'm sure you did answer the question. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 678. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello. My name is Lana Papillon. I am in Atlanta, Georgia. It is a green to meet you and Dr. Brown here. I'm having a really hard time with my luck. My luck is really, really negative. I mean, it's nothing physical involved here, because everything I have in value, it's disappearing. I mean, physically and metaphysically. Because, for example, so you can understand better, I'm 16 years old. I go to school in Morrow, Georgia. And I have a math book. I put it in my nightstand, okay? It's black. I have three notebooks on top of that. Okay, I put it inside my notebook. I mean, inside my nightstand. I walk throughout, come right back. I lift both of the white notebooks off of the black one. But the minute I got to the last white notebook, I picked it up. It vanished into another dimension. And I'm wondering, this has been happening to my phone, my iPod, most of my important things. And for some reason, it doesn't feel physical. I mean, it's not like I'm losing it, because when I checked again, it came right back. But now, it's not coming right back. So is there a reason, is there a way I can stop this negativity, or stop the pathway from the negativity from another dimension to start interacting with me? And this is one of the two major problems I'm really having with my life, and it really has to be done.
If you were in New York, I can direct you to a person who reads that kind of problem or can deal with that kind of situation. I don't know about that level of life.
Yeah.
When I grew up, we had problems that were similar to yours in the South, where one time something, we call them hants then, picked up the cat we had and threw it across the porch into a basket, and it went into convulsions. And then and then another time in my grandmother's place, they had the houses with the windows that were wooden type, not the glass type. This spirit, whatever it was, opened the window and had a handle of a broom and was waving the broom across the space of the window. And then another time, my aunt told us that there was this thing came to their house, and on the dresser, the glass of the dresser, was dust. And it, when it was time for it to leave, it wrote in the dust, "Chu Man Fu, I am leaving, I will not return." And it didn't come back. So at one point in the South, for some reason, there were, I guess you call them spirits or ghosts, that permeated that part of the world. And then all of a sudden they left. So how do... that you should get rid of that, I am not sure. But
here's what I would say, because this is sort of an area I deal with. I'm not going to take up too much time, because tonight we're talking about something a little different here, but I do want to offer this to you. What did you say your name was again?
Lance Papillon.
Okay, thank you for that. Here's a couple of things, and I'll give you this word. I know you probably have listened to the remix before. If not, you can go and download some of the shows. Instantly, if I were to just give you a mini reading here, you can always reach out and touch for a full one. It has to do with you being trapped in fear, and it has a lot to do with authority. Now, one of the things I can tell you is that you are going to triumph over this, and so things will become clear to you, and this energy will move away from you. Right now, we're in a good time. We're about to move into the energy of the new year. This is a great time for you to sit down and really address those concerns, because you have a lot of things that you're carrying, sort of this burden at this particular time in your life, and that's generating that energy. We talked earlier with Dr. Brown, and as she was talking about really where your thoughts are and how disease and different things are created, well, we put off frequencies and we put off vibrations, either through the foods we eat, things that we do, or even the people that we're around. So it's going to be important that you do some cleansing, not only on an internal level, but also a spiritual level. Cleanse these things, release these things from your life. This is the perfect time to do it, and move on to the place that you want to be. sit down and write some letters of intention, and you will see the energy begin to lift itself from you. You can also email me, or we can talk about this on another show. But I thank you so much for calling in. But know that this energy is going to shift for you, but then we all have free will. So activate your free will and begin to choose those things that you want to have in your life.
Yes.
So that means around him is this dark energy halo or dark shadow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And
yes.
So you need to raise your frequency. Raise your frequency.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's based on fear, and I suspect the fear has to do with money.
Yes, actually, because you're kind of right, because for some reason I've been feeling weaker and weaker and weaker every day. And
yes.
Is that the new year, the energy?
Yes. This has a lot to do with it. I want you to clear your sacred space. Like I said, you're going to need to do it on a physical, mental, and spiritual plane. One of the things that Dr. Joy DeGruy talked about when she came on the show, we're multidimensional people. And so when it comes to healing, cleansing, we have to do that on every single level. Think about the things in your space. Really get those things in order. You can go back and listen to the shows that I did on ancient feng shui. It'll tell you those techniques, things that your grandmother and your uncles and your aunts used to do about how to cleanse your space. You can use things like salt and water and really take care of those things.
Right.
But also begin to clear yourself. That means fasting. You know, take your body into a fast. Clear those things out. Begin to write some intentions for what energy you want to bring about, what energy you want to come into your life, and really set your intention on knowing that things will not disappear from you, that which is yours will be found, and affirm those things in your moment that you are. And the number one thing I'm going to leave you with, and we're going to move on, is that you really need to focus being present. I see your energy always in the past, reflecting on things that were and not those things that is. So be present in the moment and really keep your focus there.
Very good.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Appreciate
you're
it.
What? Peace
I
and
really
blessings to you.
It was a real
thank
honor.
You. Ooh, sorry.
Dr. Brown.
Yes.
There you go. You got it in. Peace and love to you, my brother.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. We're going to go on to the next caller calling in from area code 870. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, greetings.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? How are you? Hello?
Yes,
we can hear you.
Hello? I'm sorry. Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Hi. Fine. How are you?
I'm great. I had a problem. But before I begin, I want to say I love you, Ms. Blue. I appreciate all the work that you do. You and Brother Panic. I got a problem. I've been suffering from back acne for the past 17 years, 26 now. So, and I got acne scarring and I got acne spots. And the acne won't go away. I bathe all the time, and you know, it seemed like this back acne, it runs in the family. My sisters, all of my sisters got it, and you know, I just don't know what to do about it. And within the past, two years, I've been suffering with knee pain and foot pain. My knees hurt all the time, and my feet hurt all the time. And somehow, I think I've developed gingivitis. And it seems like this has just happened since I've had my baby. And the whole foot and the knees and the gingivitis, and I don't know what's the other been to the doctor, but those are my main problems.
Yeah, that sounds like a body-wide problem, and I would think that that's all related to body retention of toxic biochemical waste that needs to go out of the body. Those rashes, are they dry or are they like the rest of your skin? How do they look? They look whitish or peely or scaly or what?
Scaly. I get bumps like all the time on my back. I don't know what to do about it.
Where in the back? The small of the back or the upper part of the back?
The middle part and
middle
the upper part.
Okay.
Middle and upper part. Even the shoulders sometimes.
Yes, well, Ms. Blue could probably tell you that the back represents your financial issues. You warehouse your financial issues in the lower back. So, and if you have scaly skin, it means that the body is dehydrated. You need to cleanse, as she suggested to the other person, cleanse and then take in more fluids, especially vegetable juice, fresh vegetable juices, but you need to purify the body first by fasting. And then I can almost guarantee you that those rashes will go away. You stop putting the foods in that you normally put in and let the body cleanse itself out, and you purge the body and add to the body those vegetable juices that will give you nourishment so that you won't feel sick or weak. So I suggest cleansing the body and then adding nourishments to the body in the form of raw vegetable juices and lots of water.
So water sure isn't the problem. So fasting for, do you think I should fast for 30 days?
No. You fast that amount of time under supervision. No, start out with, say, in the middle of the week, say a Wednesday, and then you gradually move to 3 days a week, and then you gradually go to 7, and then if you, depending on how you feel, you can go to 21, and that's deep cleansing. I wouldn't suggest anything above that unless you have a person to supervise your fasting. Because if you get crisis, then you go to the doctor, they're going to think you're crazy. So make sure you do it so that you can have least amount of crisis, because you need a person to supervise those fasting episodes so that you won't be overly excited about it and it can bring on worse problems.
Yeah.
So you say start off with the vegetable juices first?
Yes. You can just do plain water or juice fasting for 1 day a week, and then you gradually build up to 3 days, and then 7 days.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't go to the extreme until you understand how to treat the body and the crises that may come on as a result of fasting.
I've been trying to do it.
I've been on and off. It just seems like since I've had my baby in 08, my life just got out of whack because I just graduated from college in May.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I'm excited about that, but I keep going in depression mode because
Here's a couple of things. I just want to share this with you. There are some excellent things, definitely, that Dr. Brown gave you. Some things you want to take a look at is a couple of things relating to the health issues. And as Dr. Brown was telling you from her studies and work, that we know that disease starts in the mind. It has a lot to do with that. Three things I'm going to give you to take away with you to begin to take a look at it. Right now, when I get into your energy, the number one thing I feel is that you have a lack of emotional support. That's one.
Right.
So you definitely want to get, you need to get yourself in the position. You're in a wonderful time graduating from college. I know that was great for me. I'm sure, Dr. Brown could tell you her testimony of that and still being a professor. That's a great accomplishment for you. Having a baby, being able to bring forth life as a woman, really being able to do that process is amazing in itself. As well, too. The other thing is there is some dislike that you have with yourself. You talked about that. Often our bodies go through changes, particularly when we've had a child, having the extra weight, this sort of kind of brings our energy down a little bit. That has a lot to do with it. But I want you to begin to look at the essence of who you are and not sort of let this outside picture become a sort of a state of mistaken identity, because you can bring yourself back into balance. Doing the fasting, getting yourself into that position is going to help you. But you also are going to have to re-sort of kind of program your thinking about yourself during this process and not let that reflection become sort of a misrepresentation of the wonderful, amazing person that you are. The other thing that I want you to focus on, and this is going to help you tremendously, I don't care if you do it when you get up in the morning and you're just making your bed, but I see here that you're having trouble making a decision, and that's not you. So find those things where you can actually affirm your free will. You can affirm those things that are true to yourself. So if you get up in the morning and you say, I'm going to make my bed at 9 o'clock, make the bed at 9 o'clock. Because everything that you do, every little step, as Bobby Brown says, that you take, this is leading you back to yourself and making you and helping you to stand firm on your square so that you can bring yourself back into balance. But don't beat yourself up. You've done a whole lot of things. This is really a resting moment for you, even though I know it's hard to rest, but resting when it comes to your mind. So taking those times to begin to do those things that you understand, that you love, maybe get into some yoga, Tai Chi, something very small, and taking the small steps to finding yourself back into that place of balance and accepting yourself for the amazing, wonderful mother, woman that you are at this moment.
Mm-hmm. And I would suggest to eliminate cheeses, eggs, and milk. Eliminate those from your diet.
Including soy milk?
Yes. That's very genetically modified these days.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I got you. Well, I know you guys got plenty of callers, so I'm going to get off. I just wanted to say, though, as far as my knees and my feet, will this help knees and my feet as well? Because my knees are bad. Like, I can't.
Yes. Keep the colon clean.
Okay.
What it means is you have a retention of fecal matter. You know why we have retention in this society? Because we sit on the toilet.
Everything processed.
No, wait. Yeah, process too, but we sit on the toilet.
The toilet,
sit on the toilet.
Because we sit on the toilet?
That's correct. Sitting on the toilet, you retain some of the fecal matter ready to go because sitting there, the rectum, which is the last part, 6 inches of the colon or large intestine, is thrown into a kink. And what you are ready to evacuate is now caught up in the kink and cannot come straight down. In the old days, when people went outside and they stooped in the weeds and got rid of their fecal matter, the kink is not there. The rectum has the sigmoid colon, the last part of the colon, has access straight down. So the fecal matter that's ready will come straight out. Most of the cancers occur in that sigmoid colon, which is near the rectum, where the feces are going to eventually come out. The other part of colon cancer occurs at the beginning of the colon on the right side. We call it the cecum because of retention there. So they give it different names, irritable bowel syndrome, ileitis, and prolapsed colon, and a lot of other terms. That means retention of fecal matter in the colon. Keep the colon clean and loose, and you will not have recirculation of biochemical poisonings back into the system. That fecal matter retained in the colon should go out, and it doesn't because we sit on the toilet. The little children
who squat and their knees up to their chest, the
colon is in the right position to excrete out or expel out all of the feces ready to come out.
Mm.
Well, when it's time to boo-boo, we're supposed to sit on the... how are we supposed to get that out?
Well, that's a modern society. That's why we have all these different diseases of the colon, because we're in a modern society where you have indoor toilets now and not in the weeds anymore like in the rural area.
So how do you suggest... Well, what would you suggest we do?
You can go online. You can purchase those seats that are on four legs. Companies sell them. You have to order it, and you can put it over your toilet bowl, over the rim, and get upon it with your feet. You got to practice first so that you can, your knees can take it. You get on there, and that puts your knees up to your chest on either side, and now your colon is in a position to be relaxed, and the fecal matter will come straight out. The doctors are being taught that procedure. They are now putting that as a part of their suggestion to their clients, to their patients.
Right. And it's called adjustable toilet seat?
Yeah, it's a device that you can put over the toilet seat, and it has an opening or ring and four legs, and it's sturdy, and you can get up on it. They teach you how to do it, and then you are in a squatting position when you get up on it. But your knees have to be ready for that. You can't get on there. My knees hurt. and so on.
Right,
you know.
I can't do that right now. So first, okay,
yeah,
well, it sounds like I'm gonna do the, like you said, once
okay.
a week, and then
yes.
Slowly
work your way up.
Work your way
that's
up.
That's what I meant to say. Okay, I got
yes.
it. I'm not gonna take up any more
all
time.
Right.
I love you, Ms. Blue. Love you, Ms. Brown.
Love you too. Peace and love.
Thank you, and good luck
oh, wow.
here.
Yes, that was beautiful. You know, even back in ancient Kemetic times, even when a woman was giving birth, she would be standing
that's
and not
the,
sitting.
Squatting. They,
yes.
There's a way they can
yes.
teach you how to open your feet and have your knees in a certain position where the feet of where the newborn can come straight out.
Oh,
no
yeah.
pain and
yeah.
suffering. You watch how the elephants, I watched how the elephants give birth, and they mm. do the same thing. They open their legs. They're standing up, open their legs. The newborn comes right out, straight out. And then behind that is about a bucket full of fluid, you know. So
yeah.
the animals
yeah.
in the wild, they know how to do this. They don't squat, but, you know, they know how to do it standing on all fours, you know.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, we're going to keep going. We are with the amazing Dr. Ann Brown, and we're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 707. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Yes. This is Jareel. I'm calling from California. How you doing, Miss Lou?
Greetings, Elder Jareel. Great to hear your voice. Doing wonderful.
That's good. And to Dr. Ann Brown, I'm loving the information, my sister, that you've given us tonight.
Well, thank you. Welcome to this side of the world, which is over in New York, New Jersey, and
yes.
from sunny California.
I'm up here in Northern California, and we're calling for information way over here.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, you mentioned and brought up something that I've been interested in, and you just briefly touched on it. And I have some questions on it, and that was sulfur. Let me kind of give some input here. I worked in a refinery, and they were saying that the oil from Arabia, you know, on the other side of the planet, has less sulfur than the oil on this side of the planet. So now, you mentioned that in melanin, there's sulfur. Does mm-hmm. it make a difference? Is there less sulfur in the U melanin than in the lighter melanin?
Well, if you call it the thorough melanin or the through melanin. Yeah, if you look at how they write it up, I think it's a misrepresentation. I think that in the U melanin, the amount I cannot tell you because nobody knows that, but there is sulfur there in the structure. As I mentioned before, you have plenty protons in the body, meaning hydrogen ions, and you have sulfur there. When the hydrogen ions link with the or bind with the sulfur, you have hydrogen sulfide, which gives you a dark color. That is not the case in the Caucasians. Their chemistry is very different. So the way they tell us now is that the Caucasians have sulfur and we don't, and that is not exactly true. So
okay.
sulfur is important because it is a biological inorganic element that the body needs for a lot of things, a lot of enzymes and so on, and some of the amino acids have sulfur, so it is an important ion in the system or an element in the system.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much, my sister, for that update. I think I might have had it backwards, but that's why I asked the question, because it has been thrown out there, you know, at times. One side say the melanin is better with less sulfur, than some say, no, we need sulfur. And hearing it from you, I'm accepting it 100%.
Well, I'm not suggesting you take sulfur. What I'm suggesting is that the actual melanin is dark because of the presence of sulfur to make it such. It's nothing
mm-hmm.
we added there. It's what, how we're made, how the Creator made us internally. And so, and you get it in foods. All the foods have whatever you need in it from nature. So whatever you need to rebuild that those black centers, will come if you eat the proper amount of food. We cannot eat all these processed foods that are put on the market, especially those that have lots of salt in it and those foods that have a lot of sugar in it or sweeteners. We cannot do that and survive. That's why they say that we have the highest risk. Risk means a potential because of how they notice how of the, well, when they see what we eat, you know, they watch that, and then they can make a judgment. If you continue to eat that way, you'll get some kind of problem. That's what that means. That's what risk means. It doesn't mean you have the actual disease, but if you continue to practice those things
right.
that you're now doing, you will develop some kind of problem or imbalance. So sulfur is all the foods in nature, all the elements you need to survive and be healthy is in nature. The problem is the processed foods. There's so many on the market. We are encouraged to eat them, and sometimes we feel we have no choice but to eat them, and then that there we go, you know?
Yeah.
I hope that helps you.
It did. I was really, after the information, I wasn't thinking about taking any kind of supplemental sulfur. And
mm-hmm.
as you just explained, it's in the foods already, and I
sure.
really appreciate the information. Thank you, my sister.
You're welcome.
All right. Peace and blessings to you. We're going to continue here. We're going to go to the next caller. It looks like calling in from area code 216. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hotep and respect, Cindy. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I can.
Yes.
Hotep and respect to you as well.
Much love, my sister. My name is Love. I'm calling from a place of love. My question actually deals with the binary relationship in connection with the egotistical energy produced by the masculine and feminine energy as far as the stream thought individuals. I would like to know, is there a way to fuse the two energies that are said to enhance the perfection of evolution? I have learned during the studies of comedic studies dealing with Asar Unefa and Aset that it involves the will for neurological manipulation of the physiological electrochemical processes of the mind and body. My question is, what do the elements play or the progression play as far as like the evolution of consciousness? We know that the cerebellum actually existed before the materialistic attachment to what we're perceiving to be reality, which is the illusion. But the more recent evolution of the parts of the brain being the cerebral, the neocortex that includes the attention association area, the visual association area, the verbal conception association area, and the frontal lobe, temporomoral lobe, parietal lobe, and occipital lobe actually play a part in the spiritual experience. I've tried to teach individuals who have studied under them that it's not the religion that is of significance, but it's perception and ability to be able to move upon the wave of the information received. So what role does melanin play in an individual being able to absorb that aspect of their spirituality and still maintain their divine qualities as far as their godliness or goddessness? That's my question.
Well, you said a lot of things, and some of it I didn't quite catch on to. Some of the names were not correctly said, but I don't want to criticize you. But what I'm saying
okay.
is that to maintain your spirituality, you have to get in tune with self. You have to cleanse the self. You have to meditate, and you have to make sure you're taking in the right amount of foods. And if you have issues that need to be dealt with, you need to see someone that can help you. The Sister Blue is very, very qualified to help people that have problems with perception and with their spirituality. She is wonderful. I've heard her tonight, and I'm very impressed. So I don't have any direct answer, but, you know, maybe she can give more light to what you're asking than I can.
Thank you.
Well, yes, yes. And thank you for calling in. I definitely will, you know, kind of follow up as well what the doctor said as well. When it comes to the technical terms, that's not me. But I think that from everything that we've gathered here on the show and as you continue to listen, I'm sure that what it is that you're seeking, my brother, and I know you very well, very powerful brother, that you will be able to find those answers as well, too. And they will be able to show you sort of that path so that you can have that clarity. I know you're just looking for it just for reinforcements, and the reinforcements is there for you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for calling. Thank you.
Yes.
Love you. Thank
Peace
you.
And Hotep. Peace
love
and
you.
Hotep. All right. Much love to you. All right. We're going to continue. We're going. Got a lot of great questions. I see you guys. The whole board is lit up. The chat room is going crazy, insane.
Whoa, wow.
So let's see. We're going to try to get to everyone tonight. Dr. Ann Brown is in the house. I told you guys 3 years. 3 years. 3 years. I'm so glad she's here tonight. So here we go. Calling in from area code 321. Everyone send big love to Brother Shabazz because he was the hookup for this. So give him some love.
Okay.
Area code 321, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Yes, my name is Brother Okumu. I'm calling from Orlando, Florida.
Okay, greetings to you.
Yes, definitely. I have a question. I was recently taking a special mushroom. I forgot the name of it because I threw away the package. But after I started taking it, I also do a lot of Reiki and a lot of Qigong and a lot of practices. But all of a sudden, I saw that I was urinating a lot. Do you know why? And I kind of know it from a little bit of it from a spiritual, what it means spiritually to a certain level, but I'm still trying to understand why, you know.
What form this mushroom was said? Was it dry or?
I forgot. It's a type of mushroom that comes in, like, as coffee. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
It was a powder or granular?
Yeah.
The powder. Did you read the ingredients on the container?
Yeah, it contains coffee and then that mushroom.
Oh.
It's from China.
Oh, wow. You know, anytime you urinate a lot, it means that there is a toxic poisoning that the body is trying to get rid of through the water, which is the urine. So I would try to not take that and see, you know, how you excrete water and go back and forth. Because it sounds to me like it's something you should not put in the body. You cannot trust a lot of it from overseas because our bodies are not in tune with that kind of food type. So I would be very, very careful. And why are you taking that, may I ask?
No, it was really to increase my vibration. It was a mushroom. I forgot the name of it. It's a company. They sell the mushroom with, what they do is they mix it up with coffee and everything
Coffee is the reason why. Coffee is a diuretic, and the mushroom may be acting also as a combination as a diuretic. So be very careful taking that in because it could lead to something else. I mean, I'm not sure what, but, you have 1.2 million nephrons per kidney. And they are there to filter the liquid that is the blood. And if you're taking something where that will be sped up, then it means that you're stimulating unnecessarily that process, and you'll see it as frequent urination. Be very careful. Sometimes it's a result of the pancreas and the insulin production, and which is related to diabetes and hypertension. So you have to be very careful. I would not take a lot of processed things that you know nothing about. You don't really need to take that. I know sake, S-A-K-E, is a Japanese kind of, it's a herbal-like thing, but they make drinks of beer out of it, wine rather. And so that will cause a diuresis. So be very careful what you're putting in the body. And just back off and see what the effect is when you're not taking it versus when you took it.
Yes, that would be excellent to do. And, you know, and I guess, you know, you can also talk to other people, even though our bodies respond to things differently. And
right.
anytime your body is showing you, because everything isn't for everybody. I know all of our mamas told us that. So
mm-hmm.
it may be something that is working well for somebody, and maybe it's not working well for you, obviously, because you called in concerned about it. Just on the metaphysical side, to give you some insight, usually when we're having this frequent urination, it has to do with, just think about what it is, you're pissing. Someone has pissed you off. Usually that comes from the opposite sex. You know, this is like you're pissed off and you're trying
yes,
to really
right.
get this out
right.
of there. So think about those things when it relates to that and see how that is affecting you. And again, yes, I would suggest, and if you have this mushroom and you're dealing with this, two of the experts that have come onto this platform, it's many of them, but a brother and sister out of the Atlanta area, and they are the owners of the Forgotten Foods. You definitely want to get into them. They will do consultations for you. Brother Wayne Chandler actually
yes.
turned us on to them, and they have come on to the remix. But talk to them. Call them. Tell them Miss Blue sent you. Let them know what you're taking. They deal with all of those exotic mushrooms and all of those exotic things to really help the body. And see what they recommend for you, because they have some amazing products over there. You can go back and listen to the download there. But anything that your body is doing, our bodies sort of send us these messages, these packages wrapped up so pretty. And sometimes they're so pretty we don't want to open them. But this is one you need to open, because something is definitely pissing you off. And you need to figure out what that is.
That is true. That is true. But
okay.
Is that it's not just the mushroom. Anytime I take multivitamins, anytime I take any type of vitamins, it does that. So that's why I'm not really that scared, because I'm used to it because of my history of taking multivitamins and stuff like that. Do you know why?
Right. Well, sometimes our bodies doesn't always agree with things of vitamins. Maybe you need to actually begin to get into eating the actual foods instead of the vitamins. Sometimes our digestive system, our tract, we react to things differently. So if you know that multivitamins doesn't work for you, find another way. There's so many different options. This is one of the things that we've learned. We have options, you know? We have options. So find another way. If these things aren't working for you, adjust that. Sometimes getting to that answer of why is really what I call the circle jerk. You could do that forever. Why take your body through the stress? Why take your mind through the stress? If you know that these things are not working for you, do something different. The definition of insanity is do exactly the same thing and expect different results. So you can put this in your box of tricks, that this combination of coffee and mushroom, it don't work for you. So that goes in that box. Find another way. Find something that does work for you.
And then get rid of fear and anxiety in your life so you won't have to resort to these other exotic or external things to make your body work. Fear and anxiety creates all of these physical ailments that I spoke about earlier. That is a spiritually rooted energy. And until you go in and take it out, it's related to a lot of problems. Asthma is one that Johns Hopkins says is not that which flows around you, the dust and the pollen and all that. It's fear and anxiety.
Excellent. Yeah. And stop letting those girls piss you off. All right. Peace and love to you.
Peace and love.
Thank you. Thank you for your call.
All right. We're going to continue. We're going to go to the next caller. It looks like calling in from area code 216. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Greeny. Yes.
Hi. How you doing, Ms. Blue and Ms. Brown, Dr.
Fine,
Brown? I have a question. I'm having problems with my feet. I have, like, it's built up dead skin, and then at the bottom of my toe, it's cracked on both feet. So I have cracks in my feet, and I'm having problems. I have problems with fibroids. I never done anything about it. And I also have, my stomach is large, and I was wondering, what can I do about that?
Stomach or your abdomen? Which one? The stomach is inside. and the abdomen is that area you see from the outside. Which one is it?
I didn't hear you.
Did someone diagnose you as having an enlarged stomach? Or is your you're talking about the abdomen?
The abdomen. I had, when I was pregnant mm-hmm. with my last child, I found out that I had fibroids.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady that was doing ultrasound, she said that they were large.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not went to see about it afterwards because I do have a fear of having surgery.
Okay. So one of the things
I didn't want them to cut me open.
Okay. You need to do something about them because they're not going to reduce until you get in touch with that which created them. I mentioned earlier that a lot of the fibroid problems have to be with unresolved issues with a male. It can be a female, but certainly with a male, and you keep feeding it with a thought. You're on the phone talking to somebody, say 20 years have passed, and you didn't let that thing go. So you have to get in touch with releasing and let go any unresolved issues with the opposite sex. And that creates this growth, and it continues to grow as you feed it the thought through vibration of speech or through the thinking. So that's one approach. I mean, that's one explanation. So Dr. Blue could probably tell you some other things.
Oh, no. Well, you know, it's really amazing to have Dr. Brown here because she's really giving you the scientific part of it, which is so important to understand because these are how things have begun to manifest themselves as well. The first thing I would recommend, there's been a lot of shows that we've done, some that I've done as well, and others have come on and spoke about as well, myself and Queen Afua as well, that talk about these things, the fibroids. I also do holistic readings. You can always contact me. I do what's called a life plan to really kind of get you into the cleansing, what Dr. Brown was talking about, do some food recommendations for you, and also things to really begin to put the body back into its state. Now, when it comes to calluses, and I want you to just think about this, because your feet are your foundation. It's actually the portal where we call sort of that root chakra or that root energy coming into the body. It comes in from there. This has a lot to do with fear, as Dr. Brown was saying, fear. Fear is really one of those things. Fear and love is really not that far apart from each other. You know how we say there's a fine line between love and hate? Well, there's a very even finer line between love and fear. And so moving yourself more into that place of love is also going to help you. It's going to help change the vibration within your body, and also it's going to get you ready to receive those things that you're doing. Because really doing the work, this is why sometimes people can get surgery after surgery and the situation just recreates itself again. So you want to make sure you take care of all of that. But the calluses on your foot has a lot to do with hardness of ideas and concepts, which has a lot to do with your upbringing and your childhood of things that you've been indoctrinated into. So this is a good time. You're a mother now. You have your children. Really sit down and maybe bring the whole family together and go over a list of things of what your values are for you now, what it means to have a family, and how you feel about this love that you have, this connection between yourself and all of those that is connected with you in your life.
Okay.
And then she has to consider the kinds of shoes she's wearing.
There you go.
Yeah, if they're tight shoes or they're rubbing your feet or they're inexpensive shoes, a lot of times you don't have the right kind of balance, downward because of that kind of shoe. You need to consider, you know, the shoe type you're wearing.
Well, I wear a size 10, but I can't afford the type of shoes that I would want to wear.
Well,
right,
make sure they're comfortable. Make sure they're comfortable.
Yeah, they're comfortable, but I can't afford, you know, I can't afford, like, the expensive type of shoes. But they're comfortable. But right now I got to get another pair of shoes. But you know.
What I'm saying is a better quality shoe that you can feel comfortable with. Not in terms of money, but a shoe that is the type for you, that you feel good in wearing, and there's no problem of rubbing and so on. But hardness of idea is exactly on target.
Oh, thank you. Yes. And stay away from flip-flops. Flip-flops is killing our bodies.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
I agree.
Yes, flip-flops, I'm telling you. But you can find a good quality shoe at Payless, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Payless and Spiegel's are actually owned by some of the same subsidiaries. So they get their shoes from the same place. And you can look at some of those shoes that may be orthopedic in nature, that really kind of give you that balance that you need. But stay out of flip-flops. Flip-flops is throwing our whole bodies off.
And you know, another thing, I go back to the science. We did a study having to do with leukemia in the shoe factory mm-hmm. in Turkey when they were making most of our shoes over there. And to soften the leather they were using, because they weren't into so many synthetics, but to soften the leather, they would soak the leather in benzene. Benzene is a toxic mm-hmm. solvent. They used to use that to put a head on the beer, but they don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. People who worked in these shoe factories that soften the skin of the animal in benzene so they can stitch it or cut it and stitch it, they had leukemia, which means that that's a poison. So it depends on what they are using for these shoes, you know, the chemicals
yeah.
that they are using to make these shoes wearable. That can have an effect on your skin. The skin is responding to something. The reason why is becoming callous.
Yes, callous, yes. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. We're going to keep going. I see you guys out there. We're going to get you all in here. All right. They're like, okay, Miss Blue. All right. So 770, we're going to go to the next caller. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Is that me, Miss Blue?
Yes, it is. Greetings.
Hey,
who's on the line?
This is Jania from Atlanta.
Greetings.
Greetings. I'm calling. I'm trying to respect the form. I know we're talking to Dr. Ann Brown. Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I kind of need a mini reading, though, because I found some things out about my son today.
No.
And I'm really concerned about him. He's been sick. And I don't know. I'm just I'm wondering, is he going to be okay? And doing a lot of damaging things to his body and things like that, and I just don't really know how to help him. I don't know how this is going to come out. We kind of had to come and stay with my mother for some financial reasons,
yeah.
and because the house got robbed and we have no electricity. It's a lot of just stuff going on, but when we got here,
yeah.
it's a lot of, like, negativity that I found out about that they were harboring towards me. Then this morning I find out that, you know, that he's using, you know, he's been
drugs.
Using, right. And,
yes, that's what I picked up immediately. It was drug-related. But this is what I want to say to you, and I want you to just take a moment to just breathe, because I'll tell you, the first thing that I seen when you called in and you started to speak is I seen sort of this amazing blue waters, this very calm blue waters in this boat sort of kind of floating itself on. Whenever I see that, whenever a spirit sort of gives me that, this is about positive movement forward. But here's something else I want you to do, just to be open. Tell the situation to Dr. Brown, because she's going to be able to give you insight on what you can do to really help your son and also help yourself, because both of you are dealing with stress.
Yes. Yes, very
yes.
much. Well, they diagnosed him in, I guess, 2008 with HIV. And he didn't tell me right away about it. I recently, you know, I found out about that like 2 years ago. And then he had some problems with his kidneys. He went to the hospital. They're only functioning like at 30%. And again, it's just, you know, it's just a bombardment of a lot of things to help the health issues with him. He's been stressed.
Can I stop you here? You said he, how old is he?
27.
Okay, so he's of college age.
Yeah,
and
he's graduating and all that now.
Yeah, so does he follow the other persuasion?
Yes.
Okay. So that means if he's following the other persuasion,
mm-hmm.
he has to take some kind of drug in order to do the things that they do in that persuasion. A frequency of activity.
Mm-hmm.
So that
yeah.
means that the poisons he's taking, a lot of them are nitrites,
okay.
the poison he's taking to dilate the blood vessels so that there can be a physical manifestation of what he needs to do to penetrate,
mm-hmm.
That's what's making him sick throughout. And I've seen enough cases.
Some kind of liquid something, substance?
Drugs.
Okay.
Drugs. Mm-hmm. There's special drugs. There are specific drugs that will dilate the blood vessels around the penis so that you can have an erection.
Mm-hmm.
If he's taking any kind of drugs in this kind of lifestyle, that's the issue. That's the problem that's creating the problems with his organs.
Okay.
Those are poisons.
Okay.
They are poisons. I've seen deaths as a result of this kind of habit.
That's what I'm concerned about.
That's right.
And he doesn't, like when I talked to him about that today, it's kind of like he doesn't care anymore. So.
You're right. Yeah, he's lost confidence and faith in society and himself.
The situation we're in is not really helping it. And I don't know if I should, that's what I'm saying with Blue. I don't know if I should just leave it. You know what I'm saying? And
well, here is the thing that comes up.
Miss Blue, talk to him while I run to do an emergency.
Okay, that's fine.
Just take one minute.
Okay, that's fine. One of the things that I will say to you, as particularly, and I admire your courage and just your honor and your strength. What is going to require of you is to really send your son what any mother wants to send to their son, and that is love. Know that he also is in control of his own free will as well, too. And so, like I said, positive movement forward. What you're going to do is begin to set sort of the pace for yourself. Set the pace for yourself and not necessarily withdraw yourself from your son, but you're going to have to withdraw your emotion, particularly those of a lower emotion, because what you want to do is be in the best position so that you can begin to be of help and be of support.
Okay.
Not there to control and not there to tell him what to do, but really give him that advice, that wisdom that only a mother can give to a child that you actually carried and gave birth to. And that's what you want. But I see that here what Spirit is saying for you, you have to withdraw your emotion with it. Because when we're too invested at that level, then what happens is it causes us to err. And right now you are his seeing eye. You are the consciousness for him. You're the consciousness for your family. You're the consciousness that is going to move you through these troubled waters here.
Okay, that's correct.
Okay.
You see, you're the consciousness here. So withdraw those emotions. And I know it's kind of hard to do, particularly when you're a mother and you're dealing with this situation. Your son is in the position where he has control of his free will. Withdraw your emotions. And what it will allow you to see is you will see those portals, those places of light within your son and where you can actually begin to get in and really help him to shift his consciousness based upon his own free will.
Okay.
Because right now, your energy is so low that soon someone's going to have to come help you. And you need to be in the position where you can really sort of carry this consciousness. So withdraw those emotions. Don't withdraw from your son, because never does a mother leave a son or a child.
About the situation we're in with my family, because it seems like it's bringing, like it's causing a lot of tension between us. That it's just really, I never knew that, like, people were harboring a lot of feelings towards me, towards him, about his lifestyle, and
yeah,
when we had to come
here.
But
guess what?
Yeah.
All of that is because of the emotion. Do they have
That's
these
correct.
Feelings? Yes. But they also have a whole lot of love for you, too. So this is why I'm telling you, stay out of that pool of the lower emotions and really begin to see the brighter side of this. And then you will see the love that they've always had for you guys as well, too, that will supersede all of these things. By the way, wherever you're staying, you definitely need to change the smoke detector, battery in the smoke detector. Don't ask if something in a past life. I always can pick it up.
No, and I just almost burned up some food. So maybe that's
Okay, well, good. I'm not crazy then. So, yeah,
no,
change that. That's what you're going to do. Because this is the alarm. You see, this is our sacred spaces sends messages to us. And that is telling you, beep, this alarm is about to go off. That alarm is you. So bring your energy back into that place of peace. Get into your meditation. Get into your prayers. Get back into what I call knowing your magic. You know, begin to eat those foods. Take some time out in the day and do something you love doing, whether that's going for a walk, taking a bath, listening to music, dancing, singing, chanting, whatever it is, but find that place of happiness for yourself and begin to carry that vibration, and you will see that more through your son and also through your family. So remember that positive movement forward is what Spirit is saying. Yes, you're on calm waters. You don't want to rock these waters. Bring some of those emotions in, which is connected with water. Okay,
could
so
I,
drink a lot of fluid.
Mm-hmm. Okay, could I suggest a book that she can get and read
so
that sort of can give a sense of calmness emotionally? And that is a book by Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. That's the last name. I forget the first name. And the name of the book is The Effeminization of the Homosexuality and the Effeminization of African Males.
It's Dr. Kundufu?
No, it's
not,
Baruti.
No, not Baruti. There it is.
Baruti,
yes.
B-A-R-U-T-I.
Okay, I've heard
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very good to read to give you explanation as to what, you know, how these things are related to social habits and also family structure and so forth.
Okay.
It's very good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I wish you the best of everything. Atlanta seems to be pretty high in that kind of lifestyle.
It is.
I have friends who live down there, and they say it's like the most popular lifestyle down there.
Yeah, it is. It very much is. Yeah.
And then he's an adult, so it's very difficult to reverse him or to change that because he has friends now who are like that, and that reinforces his habit. So you just, as Dr. Blue said, you have to just try to raise your consciousness and reduce the emotions around this because I don't think that he can be reversed. I don't think so.
Well, so I wasn't worried about that part of it because I have different feelings about that.
Mm-hmm.
I love him wise. It's the main thing. It's just like seeing him just not be interested in his life.
Oh, I see.
You know?
Yeah.
So no need to reverse it. It's like I accept it for what it is.
Okay.
But, I love him regardless. And
yes.
There
good.
You go.
Very good.
And so hold on to that truth. Love him.
Yeah, it was just so shocking. Like today, it's like a lot of stuff. It's just so much stuff going on, and I can't make any headway. And then it was like that, and then it was just this back to back. I kind of feel like the other man was talking about the stuff just disappearing and the bad luck and stuff. Because I've come out of like almost a 10-year depression, a horrible relationship, and I'm really feeling very happy.
Yeah.
But a lot of this stuff is just kind of, it's a lot of shocks that I've been getting. And this today was like, as I know, coupled with the fact that he's already ill, to put that on top of it, and I didn't know about that, it's just like, it was deeper than what I thought. And I'm saying,
does he have any kind of physical noticeable ailment now, or?
No, well, other than for some reason, both our hands like start breaking out like last year, a lot of scaly stuff. And, So, other than that, no. And it's like the weight goes up, it goes down. It's like, but, and on an emotional level, to kind of keep him in it. And I know that when I found out today, he's worried about me feeling disappointed in him and not loving him. I'm telling him that would never go away. But we've got to address it. What chance are you giving yourself if you're doing that too? You know, so, yeah.
Where is the father, may I ask? Is he?
Oh, he's out of state. And they're close.
Okay.
And he said that actually he had confided with him about it because he was concerned, you know. So,
Well, God bless you. Just try
to
reduce the amount of emotions there because I don't think those things could
be
beneficial.
Yeah, my emotions are off the chain, so,
And we all have those moments. Allow yourself to be in that moment, I say. But then, as my mother would tell me, cry your tears, stomp your feet, and then pick yourself up and keep going.
Yeah,
and I know that you will do that. Email me. Let me know. I would love to see how this is going on, you know. There's a lot of people that have not accepted that reality. And some even conscious community that have turned this around when it comes to talk about some of these things we coin as these different diseases and ailments.
That's
possible, too. So, you know, don't necessarily buy the hype, you know, on what it is. And but know that your son has his free will and you
right.
have yours.
And I think, yeah, that's more of the thing. I got to, and the fact that you told me to, like, take my energy off, that was instantly what I told him. And I felt like I had to do. That was perfect that you said.
Very good. That's very good. I wish you the best.
Thank you, ladies.
Yes.
I heard
about
Dr. Brown from Bill Valentine. He's a lot.
Oh,
of, I came out of this depression and everything else. It's like him and Miss Lewis.
Oh,
like, I'm really happy right now, but like
we're
it's tough to
very
keep coming
good.
And you know, and I'm just trying to deal with it. So that just worried me a lot.
Yes.
To call in.
There it
is.
Beautiful. Peace and love to you.
Thanks. Peace and love.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. All right.
Oh, amazing. I
you
tell you,
some good
amazing.
Callers. They are really, they bring some good questions forward. They very good.
Yes. We're going to continue here. We have 32 minutes left to go in the forum, so hold tight, you guys. I see you there.
Okay.
We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 909. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello.
Yes,
hello?
Greetings.
Hello.
Greetings, Ms. Blue. Greetings, Dr. Brown.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. This is Sharon, and I'm calling from Southern California.
Okay.
And I actually have two questions. My first question is, what is the, I wanted to know some of the effects of hallucinogenics like the mushrooms on the pineal. I'm interested in that. And my question, when you were talking about the melanin that's in the vegetables and the melanin that's kind of like in the green, in the environment, I think that's what you were saying. And it kind of made me think about, you know, I was in Dominica in a rainforest where it's really, really green and they have black beaches. And I feel like this heightened sense of awareness as opposed to where I'm here in California, really beautiful. You know, the mountains and the beaches and everything. So there's still a lot of nature, but it's brown. You know, it's not as green. So I feel not as in tune. You know, I feel kind of like in a slump or a little depressed in my environment. But as soon as I go into that environment, like in a rainforest, you know, even, you know, or I'm in the black beaches, I just feel like this total sense of awareness. So I kind of wanted to get a little bit more information about that, about the melanated plants and the environment and their effect on us.
You know, you left one of the most beautiful islands that I can think of, Dominica. I've been there. I don't like the high mountains and things. I'm afraid of how they drive on the left side of the road rather than the other side we drive on. But you came from a wonderful part of the world, and I'm telling you, I've been to those sulfur springs. I've been in that water, and I was so energized. I have locks. I washed my locks in the sulfur springs, and I felt like $1 million. And I wanted to go back and do it over and over and over again. The soil is black because there's black material in those islands, and that's melanin. We call it black material, but it's still melanin. So you come to this country, and you're on pavements, and you're on artificial walkways, and so on. And so you're going to feel a difference. You're not in tune with nature. You're not grounded in nature. The sole of your feet are taking in the energy over there, and it is causing the whole body to be re-energized through nature, through the ground, through the electromagnetic power of the earth, and you're grounded from above as well. So, and I watch the people there. They walk a lot, and they're in the sun a lot. Therefore, like those, like the animals that are in the sun all the time, that is your food. And you have a beautiful figure as a result of that, very developed and so forth. So I'm saying that you will feel a difference when you leave Dominica and come to this country because the environment is very different. The food is very different. I ate all of the fruits there. You have some that I can't remember now, but I had them. And I tell you, I was energized. It did a lot for my digestive tract. As soon as I ate those fruits and all, I evacuated everything and felt a vibration at the end. You feel the throbbing. So that means that your body was working very well, and those are the fruits of nature that you should put in to add melanin to your system so that the system can maintain a balance and good health. So the effect of the pineal on what did you say?
Like mushrooms, you know, like hallucinogenics.
Oh, hallucinogenics. Most of those things are chemicals. Keep them out of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them out of the body. You interrupt the spirit and the soul by putting poisons that are extracted from nature in the body. That includes the hashish, or what do you call it, marijuana, and all of that.
Yeah.
I know people use it for their eyes. They use it to get high and so on. In the long run, it is toxic to your system. The liver will try to detoxify as much as possible those poisons that are put in, but at some point the liver can't do it anymore, and it's going to spill over into the rest of your body and affect certain other organs. So I would keep the chemicals out of the system, including the pineal, because that's a very small gland in the brain, but it's powerful. So you don't want to put poisons in the system that can circulate through the bloodstream and not broken down into their non-toxic forms by the liver, because of the variety of things the liver has to do. Sometimes it can't handle those kind of, that load, you know. It's like the lymph glands. They are there to purify the fluid called lymph going through them, but sometimes they're overwhelmed. The sister that was on before you, she mentioned the HIV. Many of those kind of people have swollen lymph nodes under the arms, in the inguinal area, and so on, because the lymph nodes, which will purify the fluid called lymph that the body doesn't need, as it passes through those nodes, they're going to swell as a compensatory response to the amount of poisons that's coming to them. It's too much. They're overwhelmed. So don't take poisons into the system, and don't connect that with the pineal gland, because it's a different function.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I hope that helped you.
It did. It helped me a lot.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. It's been blessing to you. Yes, yes. You definitely don't need those things. Set yourself the mushrooms, especially DMT. You have your melanin. That's your doorway to the temple, as Dr. Richard King talks about. That's the doorway. Beautiful.
You know what the doorway is in a physical sense? All these orifices that we're talking about, the temple is your body. So the oral cavity has, we have all of that embryology and so on, that there are certain cells that take up residence in the oral and the back of the throat and so on. They're melanated cells. They're not black.
Yeah.
The chemistry is there.
Right.
So that's the doorway to the temple, you know.
Beautiful, beautiful, yes. And to higher consciousness.
And to higher consciousness. Exactly.
Yes. Okay, we're going to keep going. 414, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Yes, hello.
Yes, greetings. Who's on the line, please?
This is, I'm down here, and I'm calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay, wonderful.
How you doing, Ms. Blue and Anne Brown?
I'm fine, thank you.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm just happy. This is a good day for me. This is going to sound kind of abstract. But my question is about melanin and sea creatures, like squid or cuttlefish, or like octopus, how they have this
black material.
Like,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's melanin.
They can hypnotize their enemies.
That's right.
And
they have a lot of it, and much of it is poisonous for other creatures.
Right, they can excrete that black-like substance to like a smoke bomb.
That's right.
When I seen a documentary on them, the hypnotic patterns that they excrete that show up in their physical presence, is that how melanin moves through the body and us according to sound? You know, those hypnotic patterns that they vibrate to hypnotize other animals, like cuttlefish to walk on the bottom of the sea, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a different kind
of... Or like squids.
Uh-huh.
Is that that is melanin, you saying? So
Sure.
I want to know, does our melanin vibrate in that same fashion, but we just can't see it because our skin is darker, or You know what I mean? But you can see it in the octopuses when they, or the squids, when they vibrate that that certain pattern.
Yeah, we don't have as much because we're different creatures. We are vertebrates and they are invertebrates, meaning they have no backbone or bony part of them. And so they, nature provides a certain kind of way in which they can move around. And that melanin does give them power just like it does for us. In many cases, you see these boys jump in the air when they're playing basketball and so on. Some people poo-poo right. that when we say it's melanin that makes Michael Jordan as agile as he is and other guys who play sports, and they have endurance because of the melanin. So, yes, it gives a certain kind of energy and vibration and also a certain function to the body to maintain itself. Look how strong we are. They brought us into slavery because of the strength that we have to do those hard labor jobs that we finally ended up doing. The Native Americans can do it, but they can take height. So, but we can take the physical part, and then we still survive. As Phil Valentine says, melanin has no beginning and no end. We, as melanated people, there's no beginning, and nobody can tell where we started from. And we have no end. No matter how many they slay of us, we still will be here.
That's right.
The seed of the earth. The second part is, I heard Bobby Hemmett speak the other week, a few weeks ago, and he said that someone in Brazil informed him that we as melanated people should not eat any more seafood because there is a correcto a chemical that they add to the water because of the oil spill. And they will keep adding that for another 10 years. It is not metabolized in the body of the fish. And when we eat it, we're eating the chemistry of it that can harm our melanin. That was the information he brought forth to us.
Another
young lady from South America was here, and she gave a talk, and she said, don't eat the tilapia fish. And
it had human DNA, right?
No, the tilapia, the way she explained it, is a very mean fish. And it's, you know, it's like a mean kind of demeanor. And so when we take that in, we're taking in some of that energy somehow or another. So, I mean, since then I haven't eaten any. I used to eat that exclusively. And since Bobby Hemmett said that, I don't eat from the sea anymore.
So it's like we're taking in the spirit of that animal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Well, thank you. That was a great question, and thank you so much for calling in.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Peace and blessings. Yes, that's a good question when we talk about animals, and we're going to get to the other callers here, but I want to ask you a question about it. Do all of the animals have pineal glands?
In a different size and or location. When we do the shark, we do the frog in the lab, and we do some of the other laboratory animals in a course that I teach, we see a pineal gland just beneath the skin. In us, since we're higher forms, it seemed to have, if it were outside, it developmentally that it went inward and in between the two hemispheres in the posterior aspect of the top of the brain. And so that's where it is in us now. And it's there for a functional reason, and we went through that.
Right.
And so in those lower forms that need it for perceptivity and vibrate reception, it's located just under the skin so that as you move towards them and they perceive you as an enemy, they will pick it up immediately through the pineal gland, and then they will disappear. So you know that in children, the pineal gland is larger, so their perception of danger and whether the mother loves them or not is a vibration that's picked up through the pineal. Why? Because the skull bones have not sutured, those sutures have not formed, and it hasn't sealed its membrane there. So in the fetal skull, it is still membranous between those plates of bones, and then later it will close. Well, at that time, the pineal gland is larger in the children. And then by 7 to 9 years old, the sutures close, and then the awareness is a little less. That pineal picks up an energy in those lower animals, and it picks it up in us too, especially the children.
Yes. Okay. Beautiful. We're going to keep going. 19 minutes in the forum, you guys. So we're going to move to this. Have your questions ready for Dr. Brown. Here we go. 647. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Oh my, I can't remember.
647. Okay. Maybe they're having a conversation. We'll go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 347. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello, good night, Ms. Blue and Dr. Ann. My name
good
is Akin. I'm calling from Syracuse, New York.
Okay.
Okay, greetings.
Okay.
Greetings. Yeah, I'm mad that I even moved up here because there is no sun, really. And it kind of messes with me because in New York City, you know, it's not really all that bad. You don't even take notice. You go about your business and you're good. But up here,
sure, busy place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my first question is, I have keloid skin, and now that I'm getting to understand how energy flows, does having keloids, especially on the middle part of my throat and on my shoulders, have any kind of effect to how my energy will flow?
Mm-hmm. Where, the keloids are located where on you? I know they're usually in the back of the head. At the
Well, I have one on the middle of my throat. I had one on the side, but I had some steroid injections when I was probably about 12, 13, but it was too painful, and I didn't like the discoloration that it left. So I aborted that, but I have on my two shoulders, on both of my shoulders, I have keloids, and you know, and one on the middle of my chest. And I did a biology class like a few years ago, and we end up seeing a herbalist, and she ended up telling me that with my keloids, it will cause an energy flow, and something that I wasn't even aware of at the time. And you know, that was my question: like, how would that affect me now?
You know, have you been to the doctor? Did they describe them as keloids?
Yeah. I had them when I was 9.
Did they suggest that they could remove them?
Well, they said in the removal it will cause for them to grow back even bigger. So I said, I just stay the way I am right now.
Do they bother you now, or are they sore, or?
Well, the one on my chest, I noticed when I would breastfeed my daughter at that time, well, 12 years ago, through the breastfeeding, I saw one day just end up popping, and pus and blood came out of it. And when I went to the doctor to try to see what was going on, they didn't know what to do.
Let me ask you, where in relationship to your glands, they are called the mammary glands, which are the breasts that feed the young, where are they in relationship to them? Are they in between them or on them or what?
In between, and I have the gland underneath my arm. Like when I would breastfeed, milk would come out from underneath.
Oh, you know what? Yes, okay. I teach that in the embryology class when we do the skin. There's what you call a milk line.
Right.
The two breastfeeding organs are the ones that feed the young. But mm-hmm. if you draw a line from the underneath your arm over one of those breasts, and then down, straight down towards the abdomen, the groin area, that's the milk line. In animals that give multibirth, all of those will form a nipple, and they will be feeding sites for the young. So human beings, some of them have a milk line, and when you are lactating or when you have a child, they will start to secrete at that time. So what you're describing may be milk lines in you. The ones on your shoulder, I am not too sure if they're related to the milk line. But on both sides of your chest, from underarm, the axillary milk glands, over the major ones, and all the way down sort of in the front area on both sides, those are milk glands, and they will secrete a little white secretion when you are lactating, meaning when you're feeding the young.
Yeah.
So those are not dangerous. They will dry up after your period of producing a young. They will become obliterated, meaning they won't produce any more milk. Whether the others on your shoulder are related, I am not clear on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing there, though. But I would suggest this, because when was the last time you talked to the doctors about your keloids and the surgery? Was that a while ago?
Yeah, you know, when I was, well, put it this way, I had an abscess after when I had my last daughter, and I asked the nurse not to cut it, if they could do another way of trying to drain it, because I never had experienced that. And I, now that I reflect back, yeah, I was going through some things, so I can see where this cyst will come at the back of the head. So when I had asked them not to cut it, she insisted that she needed to cut it because pus needed to come out. No pus never came out. It was nothing but pure blood. And I was kind of pissed off because now I have a bump in the back of my head.
Right. Yeah. This is what I would recommend for you, because I'm not completely against Western way of doing certain things, because some of the technology has come very far. You may want to check into that again and see.
Right.
Try to find like more of a holistic doctor that can give you more of a holistic approach to doing it. And so there'll be some surgery options there for you, but the healing process that you go into before and afterwards, you can really get more of a holistic understanding from it and just where they've come with that technology. So I see that there can be some changes there, and there's some options that maybe before was not told to you, but you'll have these options, you know. Also, one of the things I want you to work on, and I'm just going to say this really quick, is speaking your truth. Really speaking your truth, because all of those things, your fifth chakra, which is your throat, that's our portal of communication
that's
there. I also want you to surround yourself with green things. I know typically when we go to the east, we think of that portal being blue, but really the color, the energy of communication is green. And so you want to get more green foods into you. You want to keep the color green around you. It's also going to connect you with those things of your heart as well. The throat and the heart is very much connected. And so for you, I want you to really begin to express yourself, whether that's through writing, whether that's just sort of speaking your truth. But really, I need you to get this energy and move it around and move it through communication. What's going to be important is this is also how you communicate with yourself. Because typically for you, you hold on to some of your ideas and some of these things that you want to do. I see this delay there, this long delay of things that you want to accomplish and things that you want to do. So begin to sort of kind of move forward in those areas and really begin to speak your truth whenever and communicate that very honestly with yourself. And eating green, keeping green around you, it opens up that portal of communication for you.
Could I suggest that, are you near a health food store? Can you get, I know you said you're upstate, but is there an area, or if you come downstate, you can find health food stores in Brooklyn, for example, that carry, pardon me?
It will be easier for me to come downstate here.
When you come downstate, go into, look up the health food store locations, and go into one and check, ask them if they have the herb called comfrey. C-O-M-F-R-Y, comfrey. And what you do is, I think they carry it in the powder form. That's what you want to get. And you would get, honey and wheat germ oil. They're both kind of liquids. And you mix them half and half, say a tablespoon of honey, a tablespoon of wheat germ oil. And then you would put the paste in there and make and stir it up and make a paste. And you would put that on that open wound that you call a keloid, cover it so it's secure, and replace it every day or so, and it will help to heal that skin. Comfrey is a bone, cartilage, and skin rejuvenator.
Yes,
and it has melanin in it. It has melanin. I was in the health food store in somebody's store, and they had on the top shelf a large glass jar that they hadn't taken down for a long time. In that jar was once comfrey. Now it was a black, hardened carbon mass. So it has a strong mass for healing. It causes the melanocytes in the skin to be activated, and it will heal your skin. It will regenerate cartilage that has happened with a person cutting the finger off, half of the finger, and putting that paste on there and covering it securely, and the finger grew back to its original size.
Beautiful,
And don't take comfrey inside because it causes lesions on the liver. So it's a bone cartilage soft tissue rejuvenator.
Should I use a gauze when I put it on?
Should you? Yes. Yeah, make sure you cover it well. Tape it up and so forth, and every day or so you change it and you'll see a difference over
all
a
right.
short period of time.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate
You're quite
it.
Welcome and good luck.
Thank you
okay.
very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. Beautiful, yes. Comfrey, that's right.
Yes,
it is
it
that
is
herb
a
of
bone
repair.
Cartilage.
It is
it will
beautiful.
Bone and cartilage. And
beautiful. Okay, you
reach.
Guys. Mm-hmm. We have 8 minutes to go. 8 minutes to
wow.
go. Can you believe it?
Yes,
oh, I told you
fast.
It was going to be. You did. I told you it would.
Yes, you
so
were right. You were right.
Eight minutes.
It.
So what we're going to do is take one more caller, and then I do want to have you give us some closing words here as we get ready to close out. So we're going to go to the next caller, 863. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, Ms. Blue. How you doing? It's,
Three.
This is
who?
Florida.
Okay, greetings to you. Greetings. You had a question for Dr. Brown?
Yes. I'd like to ask Sister Brown about what Bobby said about Michael Jackson the last time that he was on, about his melanin and that the fact that Michael Jackson probably had some type of alteration to his melanin on maybe like a genetic level. I wonder what she has to say about that. And I'll take their answer off the air. Thanks, Ms. Blue.
Okay, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay, thank you for the question. I'm not sure what he used, but I do know that when the liver is overly toxified, you will have a change in the melanocytes in the skin. There is a direct relationship between the toxicity withheld in the liver and the skin, as well as in the dream state. So, but in his case, I don't know what chemical was used on him to demelanate his skin melanin, and so I am not sure. But the condition that they claimed he had was vitiligo, which means then that the melanocytes are destroyed and the pigmentation is no longer there, and so that's the end of that. I've had two students who came through me who said that when they got certain injections, they had the melanin, and when they stopped getting it, it started to come back. But then they went to another place where they had to have it, and the skin turned completely white all over the body, depigmented. So it is an overly toxicity of the liver affecting the skin and the melanocytes. All your systems are interrelated. And
yes,
I can further do a sidebar to say that your colon, which is the large intestines, is every organ in your body reflexly communicate with some part of the colon. Across the transverse part of the colon would be the respiratory system. So when a person constantly has problems with the respiratory system, there's some old retention of fecal matter against the wall of that colon, and it continues to take out, because there are capillaries there, extract out the toxic fluid liquids in that feces, leaving a hard mass on the wall, blocking the reflex that organ has, the respiratory system has to the colon, the transverse colon, and so now it's like a backup. Instead of reflexively going into this area or vibrating into this area, now it backs up into the organ, and you have a problem. So the eye and the ear, we know exactly where on the colon reflexively that relationship is, the heart, etc. People that have had heart problems, they thought they had having a heart attack or whatever. Once they cleansed the colon and got rid of it, say, in that particular area amongst others, the heart problem dissipated. So the colon is related to every organ in the body. So
beautiful.
This brother, you know, it's. I hope that helped him because,
yes.
you know, That's all I can say about that.
Well, that was a whole lot, and it brought about a lot of clarity. Tonight was just about what the show was titled, Understanding These Codes of Darkness as They Relate to Us and Melanin and the Pineal Gland and all parts of our body. I want to thank you so much for coming on.
I enjoyed it, and anytime I'd be willing to come back. If you have a topic you want me to cover, I can do that and just you know, we can have fun talking about it. And
good
to share knowledge with other people, no matter where they're from.
Oh,
I was hoping someone would call from Australia or some of these other places that are different.
And you know what?
And
I'm sure they're on the line holding. We just don't have enough time to get to them. It's still people on the line. We still have about 3 minutes left to go. I do want to tell you that it has been a joy. This is a must download. I'm sure that everyone will be here. They're sending love to you from the chat room there as well. And yes, people are PMing me. They are international and they are holding. So the phone lines are lit up, like the phone lines, and I have over 100 lines. They're lit up. So,
wow.
Yes.
And you are a big asset to the audience, I tell you. Your expertise is just amazing. And I know a lot of people have benefited from your energy and your information as well. And continue with your show. And you're a beautiful sounding person, too.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Ann Brown. Well, I know you have to go. We have definitely enjoyed you. I will be in touch to have you come back
anytime you
want this platform.
Sure.
So peace and love to you, and thank you so much for coming on. And we are all going to send energy. Everybody, I want you to take some time out your day to send that energy to Dr. Ann Brown so she can get what she needs that book. That other book, because we need her to do that. We want to.
Sure. Okay. All right, Dr. Blue. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, likewise, likewise. Yeah. So peace and love to you. And
thank you.
All right, you guys. We're going to get ready to get out of here. I want to say thank you to Sister Manya and Sister Esther, who also helped me as well to do the research on the show. It has been amazing. You guys have been amazing. Thanks for all your help. And to everyone out there, continue to study those things that is connected with us, connected with you. We talk about consciousness and what I call magic, which is just everyday life, and really getting to know that greatest question that our ancestors left for us, which is know thyself. And so these are all the things that really can help you. Take care of your mind, take care of your body, take care of your spirit, like Dr. Ann Brown shared with us tonight. Take care of those things, and that will begin to take care of you. So we'll be back doing it again. We got a couple more shows we can get in there before the end of the year. If you like the show, I want you to like it. If you love it, I want you to love it. Leave a message on Facebook. I'd love to hear you guys' thought. I'm going to go over there for about 15, 20 minutes. Hang out with you guys on Facebook. We'll jam a little bit, share some thoughts as well. Just a lot of amazing information. Don't forget to download. The show is also on iTunes as well. You can grab it. It is free. Pass it on. Listen to it, and we will definitely begin to get into that energy some more. I also want to give a big, big thanks to everyone who has helped me on my journey of understanding melanin and the pineal gland, as it is said, and all of those things that relate to us as people, to Elder Siba Haru, Alke Bulon, and definitely to Brother Ogun, Brother Bobby Hammett, Dr. Phil Valentine, and Brother Panic, and to Queen Afua, and oh my goodness, we don't have enough time. I can't keep going on. So I love all of you guys. Thank you so much for sharing peace and love. We're going to get out of here with a little bit of this. This is going to be something that we're going to hold Dr. Ann Brown to, and that's Let's Do It Again.
Do it again.
Love, warm spirit, and much love to all the ancestors. Ashe.